Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Mic check number one.
Hey.
Mic check number three.
How's everyone doing?
Great.
It's mischief night.
Yes.
It's goosey night.
It's not goosey night.
Devil's night.
Goosey night.
I also heard devil's night.
Devil's night's like the Detroit thing, right? Isn't that what was going on in the first Spawn movie?
I would love
Wasn't it devil's night?
You might be right about that, but I would love to hear from people, because I heard it's a New York, New Jersey thing. Maybe it's beyond that region, but if you called tonight, the day before Halloween, anything besides October 30th, please give us a call at 201-334-3484. So, no, 332. Excuse me.
Oh my
dead
God.
Hug.
Dead hug. You're wearing a dead shirt.
I know.
You didn't even get dead hug.
I got a Jersey City dead shirt on.
So, it is the best show. I am Dudio. We've got AP Mike. We've got Pat. We will have Tom calling in throughout the show tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about Mischief Night, the night before Halloween. Does anything go down in your fine city? And also, we're going to...
Or country. Right. Maybe
yeah,
it's a thing in... Yeah, maybe it's some European weirdness
yeah.
we're not even familiar with.
AP Mike thinking globally.
yeah.
Also, another topic on the table. The big surprise, the big letdown. Is there anything that you've ever, like... You've built up so much that you're like, oh, this is going to be amazing, and then it's probably one of the worst things you've ever seen? Comes
Absolutely.
Out in theaters on Friday. I'll talk a little about that coming up. But also the flip side of that.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought something was going to suck?
And it was great.
And then it was awesome.
Yeah.
So that is the big surprise, the big letdown.
Let us know, folks.
Let us know. Like I said, we will talk to Tom very, very soon.
201-332-3484.
Let's go ahead and do it. Best show. 301-332-3484. It is the best show. Tom's calling in just a second, live from Toronto. What you just heard, you heard the track I'm All Right from Cola War, from their album Formula. Cola War is a friend of mine, a good dude named Walter Simpkins in Radford, Virginia. He's been recording these lo-fi records for 20 years now. He put some of them up on AP Mike's favorite website, Bandcamp. But that's always been one of my favorite songs, and you should check him out. He is a good dude. Good lo-fi rock.
It's great. First time I heard it. It's yeah. Really good.
I thought you were from West Virginia.
Yeah. Okay. Close. Close. So it is the best show. We're talking. I lived an hour from West Virginia, okay. So you would go up 460.
Take the bend.
That was basically the road that went to the only strip club near where I grew up, the college town of Radford, Virginia. Horrible, horrible strip club, just like all strip clubs. But it was called Southern Exposure, and I used to have to do their ad, too, where their tagline was Southern Hospitality with a twist.
Nice.
They never explained what the twist was, but from what I can tell, the twist was the owner burning down the first Southern Exposure on Thanksgiving for insurance money.
That is a twist.
That's what I always thought the twist was. So
that is quite a twist.
Quite the twist. Let's go to the phones. I think I know who this is.
Who?
Tom Sharpling.
Hi. How's everybody doing? How are you, Jason?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good now. Now that we're
good.
Talking to you,
did you hear that?
You just, oh, you're my hero.
You're my hero.
Thank you. You're my hero. So how's is Mike there?
Yeah, I'm here, Tom. How are you?
Hi, Mike. How are you? I'm good. I'm good.
You sound a little under the weather.
I'm cold. I'm outside.
Oh, okay.
Young Street.
Yeah, colder.
Again.
Yeah, yeah, I'm back on Young Street.
What if you actually were this time and I just really blew it?
Yeah, and then suddenly there'd be a mob of people just so excited about watching me sit with headphones on, watching production of a television show that shoots outside.
Only at night.
Yes. Well, that's apparently when vampires walk around. I realized.
This is Exile on Young Street.
It's been driven home. Thank you, Pat. I didn't miss that.
Yeah.
Yes, as I said before, I'm in Toronto and I'm here. I'm working on a job and I'm having a fun time and we're working on a television show, and it's the show, I've said before, What We Do in the Shadows, based on the movie, and it's a great time, and I wish I was home. I miss my wife and my dog and my friends, Mike, Pat, and Jason, and no or particular order between the three of you two, but I will put my wife and my dog ahead of. No offense.
Okay.
To you three.
None taken.
You're all tied for third.
Good. Good. When do you come back down to the U.S.?
Oh, I have no idea.
You have no idea?
I have no idea. We're just working. It's pretty extensive schedule, but that's what it takes. You know? We're working, man. What are you going to do?
Any new Sharpling observations about the Canadian culture?
Oh, please. Here we go. First of all, I'd like to say
the Canadian corner. Let's call it the Canadian corner. We have a lot of Canadian fans. I can vouch for that.
I can vouch for it too. I meet people and they're all very nice and sweet and I appreciate it. And it's, I gotta say this. My lovely wife has been trying to send a box to me for almost a week now, and at some point they are not delivering it. It stays on this UPS truck, and then they're just like, "Oh, you can go to drive 40 miles outside of town to pick it up. It's at the depot. Like, gee, I think she paid a mountain of money to have this thing delivered. Uh-huh. And then somebody at the place I'm staying was just like, yeah, this happens all the time. These UPS drivers don't want to just take the box off the truck. They're too lazy. So I'm going to say this right now. On that front, thumbs down, Toronto.
Canadian UPS.
Take the box off the truck. Yeah, take the box off the truck.
Uh-huh. Wait, is this like a care package? Is it like peanut butter and stuff?
Oh, I don't know. You tell me. your guess is as good as mine for what's in that box.
You know what my guess is?
What?
Long John.
Oh, I could use those. I could use the Long Johns tonight.
Yeah.
Not here on the street.
For some, what is it? The underall? Under Armour?
All right, calm down with that. Calm down.
Some hand warmers.
Now, what's that? Put the stuff that keeps you warm. Hot hands.
Take it easy, Gary Flint.
No, I'm trying to give you some advice to get warmed, huh?
Yeah. So, that's strike one. Here's strike two. Here's strike two.
Under Armour.
I'm ignoring all of that. Here's strike two. I go to a rock concert on Sunday. I go see Nick Cave, right? He's playing a hockey arena, basically. Oh. And look, this guy's one of my favorites. He's up there doing his thing. This is how the show's structured. They got the floor was general admission, and the seats alongside, the permanent seats that would be at any hockey or basketball arena, are fixed seats, and you buy those seats. So I got good seats sitting right up against what would be the boards if it was a hockey game to watch this. And look, this guy sets a mood. This Nick Cave, he's one of the best people, if not the best, doing this now. I've never seen anybody hold an audience better than this guy. He's an absolute master, top form right now. Show is unbelievably great. Because he's unbelievably great. The band is unbelievably great. It's just the best. But these people at this thing, they're out on the floor. Like they're there to see a Jimmy Buffett concert. They're just there to see anything. Mm-hmm. And now I'm out there. Guy right in front of me. I'm in the general admission. Let's say 8-year-old kid, right? An 8-year-old kid. And, look, first of all, the mood is blown. Everybody wearing their big winter jackets out there on the floor. This guy's trying to set a mood with this show. Uh-huh. It's damnation. It's redemption. It's lost souls. It's love and spite and all the things Nick Cave has sung about and sings about. And I'm looking at some guy. Nobody's going to mistake me for some kind of fashion plate. But these people are at this thing as if they're at the pumpkin carving contest out there with their puffy winter coats on. And then this guy right in front of me goes, somebody's like, runs into him like, hey, what's going on? He's like, oh, not much. I brought the wee one to the show to see the thing. And this guy proceeds to say the phrase, the wee one, 8 times.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I figured the wee one could check out a concert and see what's going on. So he says, we bring the wee one to say wee one one more time. And now I'm supposed to watch this guy do these pitch black songs. Mm-hmm. But this thing, I'm looking at this kid up on the wee one. I'm looking at the wee one up on Papa's shoulders at the thing. Look, it's fine. You want your kid to see a thing. First of all, your kid doesn't want to see Nick Cave. Your kid doesn't want that.
Spring for a babysitter.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. He's free for a babysitter. Or you take him to something more appropriate. Take him to the Bryan Adams concert that's coming up. I see things on TV for that all the time. Bryan Adams is coming through. He's a Canadian treasure. Take him to that.
Is he coming through or is he already there?
Well, I know he's playing a big show coming up.
Okay.
Here.
Was there a beach ball float? Was there a beach ball?
In January, no, there were no beach balls because the rest of the audience had respect for this.
Oh, but I thought you were suggesting that they weren't that respectful.
No, they were just dressed. They were just dressed like they were coming from the tractor pull at this thing, and it took me out of it a little bit because everybody in the band is wearing suits. Uh-huh. It's elegant, and hold on, I literally have to put this thing up to my ear and hear if we've started working again.
Like Mr. Peanut is elegant.
Like Mr. Thank you, Mike. You get it. Mike understands elegant. A peanut with a cane and a top hat and a monocle. That's one weird peanut.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, it's been talked about before. I mean, it's hardly an original thought. What's Mr. Peanut's deal with this? He's selling other peanuts to be eaten? That's strange.
You know, that it was a contest for that character.
What's that?
The character's creation in the 30s or something like that, 1930s, was a... it was like a kid contest for people to like write in and draw a character and
So a child came up with Mr. Peanut.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, I'm like basically reciting a Robert Dean joke. He has a whole bit about this, but basically,
who?
Robert Dean, comedian.
Who's that?
He's a friend.
I thought you said Dean. I thought you were talking about the guitarist who played with
great comedian. I did Sticker Treat with
Helen
him last
like.
Night.
Okay, I'm not saying he's not funny. I'm not saying he's not funny. I'm not saying the guy's not funny. I don't know, Pat.
Mike, you're...
I can't remember everybody.
It's okay. I'm just saying it for the radio listeners at home.
I'm kidding.
But
I'm doing...
Mike is also... He thought I was talking about Robert Quine. His name.
Okay. Yeah, I know. But I thought you were just mispronouncing it.
Mike has about six references, Pat.
I know. But this contest was...
Everything leads back to either him with threatening to punch a guy at the Bruce Springsteen show. You honk at me on one... Oh, yeah. I tell you. Blow your horn.
I'm walking here.
It's either the Bruce Springsteen show or it's another reference to the Bruce Springsteen coming up to him at the record store or it's him with the fun packs or whatever story. He's got six stories have six destinations.
Come on, the shrimp.
Shrimp Connect. Or Robert or Richard Hell or
Richard Hell's now in the mix.
Yeah. Or Robert Quine when he hung out with him at Arby's or whatever that story was. I can't remember. So go ahead with your thing, Pat, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I was just saying that I think it was a competition to enter in this character, whoever should be the new mascot for Planters Peanuts, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a Planters.
A kid apparently submitted Mr. Peanut, but then my friend Robert found out later that the company actually added the monocle and the hat and the cane years later, which means that the original submission was just a peanut with arms and legs, and they wrote Mr. Peanut on the top, and that's what got in.
Yeah.
The simplest, most bare bones.
I have a theory.
Yeah, what's that, Mike?
I have a theory that I just read a book about the New Yorker magazine, and they have that sort of elegant character guy, you know, they put on once a year on the cover.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody was inspired by that and just took out the man and put in a peanut.
He's once a year? That's it?
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like the anniversary. Every episode.
Well,
Every episode of New Yorker magazine.
Yeah.
No, look. It's a dumb logo. It's strangely got some creep vibe to it that he's luring other peanuts to their death. It's gross, and it's also a crummy product. It's like you shouldn't be eating. There's other better nuts to eat. Mr. Peanut, super salty. What are you trying to spike your...
I like their honey nuts.
Clog? Yeah, I like the honey nut. I like it. Look, there's tasty stuff. There's junk.
Did you ever have the large Mr. Peanut that you could put a few peanuts in and it would turn it into peanut butter?
No.
I had that.
Oh, I remember that thing.
Oh, it just
it had like a crank on
yeah.
it. Like a slot
yeah.
machine.
Oh, the peanut butter would just get stuck in there and you couldn't do anything.
Yeah, I remember that.
You'd have to chisel it out.
Yeah. I love things like that where it's just like, here's a thing. The kid can make peanut butter. It's going to cost three times as much as peanut butter costs.
Yeah.
To make, and you're going to get a tablespoon of peanut butter at the end of this 2-hour endeavor of grinding nuts and trying to get it out. Or you could just get some garbage jar of Jif and it's $1.99.
You're naming all my brands tonight, Tom. You know, I'm a Jif peanut butter guy.
You're a Jif guy? Are you a Jif creamy or chunky?
Planner.
I don't like either.
You know.
No, they have the natural. They have the natural.
Yeah.
And it used to come with the oil on top, but somehow.
Oh, it doesn't anymore.
No, yeah, they figured it out. Some mad scientists figured it out.
All these years.
How to get that oil underneath.
They made the right hire.
Yeah.
Still a little wet for peanut butter. If you're not a fan of the wet peanut butter, I don't suggest it.
That's on the actual jar. It says still a little wet for peanut butter.
Would you say that was a big letdown or a big surprise?
There you go.
No. I say it's an improvement.
All right.
You know? Mixing it in, that was kind of...
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Like, it was like work. They made you work for it.
Speaking of which.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, should I say my big letdown?
No, I think just...
No, hold on. Let me just introduce this thing, if you don't mind. I just want to say, so look, I'm not putting everybody up here down. I like it up here. You people are all right. Little low service, slightly low service, not nuts about that. For a city where the cliche is that everybody says sorry, not a whole lot of people saying the word sorry when they make a mistake with your thing up here. They kind of look at you and then just expect you to roll with it. Realize I'm not going to call it the states because I'm not. It's the United States of America. Because people, there's a certain amount of hey, let's figure this out. Not just them's the brakes. A fair amount of them's the brakes going on up here, and I don't like it.
Any more weird encounters with Canadian food?
Hold on, Mike. Hold on. I get in the cab, and this guy goes, cabbie goes, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to this address. And he goes, that's not west. And I was like, but it's where I need to go. You're a cab. He goes, that's not west. I'm not going there. Then I just went, well, F you. and then he yelled, F you too.
That's a proper response to F you.
Yeah. Well, no, but you drive me there. Drive me. Driving a cab where you can pick and choose.
Right.
Then the move I wish I made, I wish I left, I think about it. I should have just left his cab door open.
Oh, yeah, that's the move. That's the one.
I should have just left it wide open. You close the door. Oh, you can't take me? Then close your own door. You can tell I'm very crabby, guys. I'm not sleeping much.
Yeah.
I'm not sleeping a whole lot. It's cold. I'm outside. My job is basically outside now.
You have a toque?
I was a writer.
Is that what
apparently
that thing
now
is called?
I'm Grills Bears or whatever that guy's name is. What's the guy's name?
Bear Grills?
Bear Grill.
Yeah.
Bear Grill. Apparently, I'm Bear Grylls now. I live outside.
Do you have a beard?
No, of course not.
Does Bear Grylls have a beard?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I don't even know what he does. I just know he's outside a fair amount.
Yeah.
He's never indoors.
Hiking and stuff.
Any weird Canadian food thing? Let me think, Mike. Okay. Let me think. Yeah, yes, there was actually. I had breakfast the other day and I was having eggs and then I took a bite of the thing and it was wet and cold in the center of it, and I almost threw up. It's just like, that was super gross, and I can actually feel myself wanting to throw up again as I describe it. That was not a great Canadian food experience.
So they couldn't even manage to cook an egg completely.
Well, they didn't get it all the way. They look like they got it most of the way, isn't that? Don't you get points for that?
but most
of an egg.
But getting it cold in the middle—that's weird.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah,
I'm agreeing.
I'm agreeing. How'd they get it cold in the middle? Thing.
Yeah, finish the job. It's an egg. Finish the job.
Yeah.
Not asking for the world. Cook the egg through. But yeah, look, it's great up here. Having a time of my life. I don't miss anything back in the States. It's the opposite of everything that I actually feel. I am having fun though. Look, I'm not having fun. I'm having a lot of fun, and there's a lot of great people, and the job's great. I just miss my wife. That's all. It's been up here for a month now.
Yeah.
You know. We'll see. Maybe when I go trick or treating tomorrow, it'll all be better. Sort it all out. I'll get out there with my mask.
Is it Canadian Halloween, like, on September 15th, though?
September 3rd.
September 3rd.
Yeah. No, it's tomorrow. We all celebrate Halloween. Uh-huh. So you saw the Bohemian Rhapsody?
I did.
How did you swing that?
So you guys, I mean, you know that Queen's my all-time favorite band. I've said it many times on the show. And I've really built this up in my head for...
This was your Phantom Menace.
Yeah, this was my Phantom Menace, guys. This was my Phantom Menace, 100%. Pat is correct. There was a...
Jar Jar Binks in it?
He should have been.
He'll be in the special edition.
I'm going to say he should have been. He should have been like an auxiliary keyboardist or something.
So you hated the movie?
I hated the movie. It was about... I mean, if you know anything about Queen, you're not going to like the movie. It was about 5% accurate. I spent most of my time turning to Kristen, saying, "That's not right. That's not right."
That's a great movie going experience.
Yeah, that's incorrect. This song wasn't written at this time.
Did she change seats?
Yeah, no, she didn't. It was completely sold out, so there was no other options. The best part, though, was that the writer and producer was standing behind our seats. We were in the very back. Because it was a Q&A session.
How are you getting into this thing? How are you getting in? I get into nothing now. I got less pull than ever. I had to beg to get into a haunted house the other night. It was the most pathetic demonstration of my entire life.
Uh-huh. Just let me in the house. Just let me in the haunted house.
I got in, though. I got in.
How was it?
I conned my way into that thing.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was. It was good. It was a haunted castle.
Nice.
It was good. Me and some coworkers went, so it was a nice time.
What was the scariest part?
Scariest part was you're walking, it's inside and outside, then you're walking past a giant post that's about 30 feet high, and then the post moves, because it was a person in a costume that looked like a giant pole or something.
Huh, that's weird.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Also a nice touch, you'd like this touch, like the haunted, you go through the haunted castle, halfway through, there's a full bar in the middle, and people are going through the other half of the haunted castle hammered.
I was just going to say, what was the bar? The people at the bar part of the cast, or you know?
No, they were just
the people.
They were there to get you drunk.
You can get a drink.
They
in
were
the
getting
of,
it. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
That was thinking.
Yeah.
It was good thinking there.
Yeah. in the Queen movie, did they do "I'm in love with my car"?
They did not, but they did make fun of it quite a bit.
Why?
Well, you know, when they were recording A Night at the Opera, they were talking about the songs that they were bringing to the album, and they were giving Roger crap for bringing, "I'm in love with my car."
Hey, man, Roger ain't laughing.
No.
He gets as much off that Bohemian Rhapsody 45, but then Freddie Mercury. It's Freddie Mercury got.
Yeah.
Get the B-side.
He's got that B-side.
Yeah.
So
that's why Mike Nesmith always threw those Mike Nesmith songs on the B-side of those Monkees singles.
Yeah.
Tapioca Tundra. You know which money he made getting Tapioca Tundra on the B-side of Daydream Believer? Think about it.
Savvy businessman.
That's a good move. It's a good move.
Yeah.
What I was saying, I kept doing that to Kristen, like, oh, that's wrong. They didn't record We Will Rock You in 1980. That's completely incorrect. They didn't play Fat Bottom Girls.
There's no way the movie's that sloppy.
The movie is that sloppy. They showed
We Will Rock You in 1980.
They showed Queen touring the U.S., so it was the tour that they did with Mötley Crüe in 1974, and the live montage was to Fat Bottom Girls.
Yeah, which didn't exist yet.
Which was recorded 4 years later.
Yeah, they should have been shown Seven Seas of Rye.
Yeah,
at that point.
Yeah, they could have shown Brighton Rock. They should have shown. They could have shown Killer Queen or anything in that at that point in time.
Yeah.
So they were behind me. They were standing behind me for like the last maybe 20 minutes of the film, where I'm constantly going, "That's wrong." Wow, they really missed this one.
What did they do? It was just like, oh, this guy's killing them.
They looked. I don't know. I don't even know if they noticed. But at the in the
you're not the first person to drop the facts on them.
Well,
on this one.
Here's the funny thing. So in the Q&A, somebody was asking about the accuracy, about how they really made some changes. You know. How did they justify those changes? And the producer said, well, you know, there are so many documentaries about Queen. Just watch a documentary about Queen. We chose to be theatrical.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So.
Woo!
They might as well just kept Freddie Mercury alive then in their movie. They just wanted to be theatrical.
Well, I'm going to blow it for everybody here because, The ending.
Don't you dare blow it! Don't you blow it! No, seriously, don't blow it.
Okay.
Yeah, don't be a spoil sport.
I won't be a spoil sport. But there's
you didn't like the Queen movie.
There are parts that never happened, and there are parts that like never happened in the way that they say they happened. But I will say the coolest part of it though is
Mike Myers,
100%.
Here's the biggest red flag for me or anyone that's spotted this. It's a movie about the band Queen, and it's rated PG.
PG-13.
Still.
They did address that, too, because they wanted to be able to bring this movie to, you know, kids. They wanted kids to be able to experience Queen and Freddie Mercury. Yeah. And if it were, and if they were, if, you know, if Freddie was doing lines of coke throughout the entire movie, you know, they wouldn't be able to do that.
Do you hear full songs or
kids
every
ruin
song?
Everything?
Full songs.
Oh, okay. Well,
that is a cool part of
actually,
it.
Actually, I like full songs.
Yeah.
Kids ruin everything.
Yeah. It's
they ruin concerts.
Yeah, kids
they
ruin
everything.
Kids make the world worse.
Yeah, I agree.
Kids
make
the
world
worse.
A worse place.
Yeah. I don't like kids.
The wee ones. The wee ones, for example.
The wee ones.
The wee ones. Bummed me out at the Nick Cave show. I wouldn't wish bad things on any child, but I'm sure the wee ones having nightmares now about the song Stagger Lee, and that's not sitting well with the wee one right now, and that's on his father. I hope the father's having nightmares. I hope the wee one, if the wee one's having them, I hope he's bugging his father with them. Yeah. The best part of the Nick Cave show, he's doing the song Stagger Lee, and then he's singing this quiet part, and he's like, and then he gets down on this thing, and some guy in the back of the room goes, yeah!
It's probably a Deadhead. He got it mixed up with the Deadhead, the Dead version.
Hold on, Mike, hold on.
Stagger Lee.
hold on. Uh-huh. Telling a story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No. You just did what the guy did to Nick Cave, to me.
No, I felt like a kinship with that guy.
No, you just went, yeah, over my story. The guy, he's singing the part, he's like, let's take a leak. They goes, yeah. And Nick Cave leans up and he goes, F you, to the guy. And everyone in the place cheers. He goes, I'm going to, it was the greatest thing I ever saw. I hope the wee one got thrown by that a little bit. Again, I don't wish it on the wee one. Wee one had no choice in the matter.
In Jersey, I think it's the little ones.
I brought the wee one. I figured I'd bring the wee one to the show.
I hear the little ones.
I've heard little one a lot.
Yeah.
I just put the little one to bed.
I heard wee one 80 times. I heard one person say wee one 80 times. So I think wee one might be the dominant thing just because of the amount of times this dunce said it. So what's the topic tonight, guys?
Well,
Mischief Night.
We're talking great. Yeah, Mischief Night, big surprise, big letdown.
Now, what's the big surprise? Tell me what that means.
So the big surprise is kind of, so I suggested big letdown just because of what I felt with Bohemian Rhapsody. And then AP Mike took that and was like, well, why don't we do a positive turn and do a big surprise?
Who?
AP Mike.
Mike.
Yeah, Mike said that.
He wished for the positive one.
He's like, because, you know, yeah, I'm positive. I was shocked.
Okay.
I did not expect to hear that. He's like, okay. You know, let's just make sure we're all running on a higher vibration in this show.
Yeah, exactly.
Positive.
Yeah.
A lot of negativity out there in the world.
He was talking about energy before we started.
Why don't you just call me Ray of Light? Mike of Light.
Mike of Light.
I let the light in.
You do.
Yeah.
But it's a good turn on it. It's like, what was something that you knew was going to be terrible, and then you were pleasantly surprised?
That's good. I like that.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like it coming from Mike. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The curveball.
Yeah. I gasped when I heard it.
So what's one for you, Mike? Do you have one? Are you going to talk about this later? You want to take your time? I don't want to rush your show. I'm going to call back later. Okay. I got to go check things out here.
Okay.
I'll talk to you later.
All right.
He had to go attend to the wee ones.
Yeah, he had to go see the wee one, put the wee one to sleep. 201-332-3484. Do we want to just go ahead and get this over with?
Do we got some callers? Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, you know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, best show.
Hey, how you doing? This Pat?
Yeah, this is Pat.
Hey, Pat, how are you? Tom's not around, huh?
Nah, he's not coming back. We're
want to hear a little Halloween song?
You know it. That's what Pat Byrne needs.
Okay. Galact won't be a vampire no more. No monsters are knocking on his door.
Can you turn that television up a little more?
Wait a minute. Jack can't be a vampire no more. Oh, monsters are knocking on his door. Jack has become so useless.
Had
become toothless. Oh, I can't bite nobody on the neck. Oh, he's such a wreck. He looked into the mirror and turned red. And you know what? Jack dropped dead.
Now we recorded that. So now we have a recording of that, too.
We do.
And actually, this is...
I don't think so.
No, we are recording it.
Yeah, this is released as a podcast.
So we record it.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
You didn't know that?
So tomorrow
great. Yeah.
Was that an Irish accent?
How are you, man?
I'm good. This is Jason now.
Oh, Jason, how are you, man?
Good. Good to hear you, Bob. Big fan.
Oh, man, yeah. I had a little disappointment. We were going to do a show at Maloney's, and the guys got sick, and...
I heard. We actually retweeted it in case any...
Yeah, they've been on tour for a while, so with the band, so... I got no guitarist or something for, I'm probably 19, you know? 19.
Are they going to still have the free beer?
We reposted it just so in case any Best Show fans were going to go.
Yeah. How's Tom doing?
He's good. He just hung up with us. He's on set. Yeah.
He's still doing the Canadian thing.
Any shows coming up or any new shows or anything?
No.
Do you have any shows, Jason?
Do I?
Yeah, I think you're at Upright Citizens Brigade Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, that's right.
This Saturday night at midnight
gotcha.
For the Flying Blind show.
That's where I'll be.
Yeah, so that's where Jason will be.
Yeah.
Good luck on that. Okay, it was so good to talk to you
good
guys.
Good to talk to you, Bob.
I mean, talking to you.
You're the best, man.
You are too, Bob. Take care.
Oh, yeah. My song the day that Hate died. You couldn't give that a little spin, could you? From my album, it says so much for what's going on right now. Kid Chris and WEBN played some of it on the air today, and then I think my friend Bennett's going to play some on KXRU, the whole song on KXRU on Thursday.
We will see what we can do, Bob.
Yeah, it's on my album. It's
okay.
Yeah.
Great.
If you can't give it, I think it would be so good for what's going on right now, Bennett.
I agree with that, okay. Bob. So this is Pat Byrne signing off, Bob.
Yeah, Pat. Great man, Bob.
Take care. Insane to me how we were ending the call. We were like, okay, have a great night. Boom, another plug.
Yeah. But he's going to heal the country with that song.
I think he might.
Yeah.
Best Show, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, this is Jeremy from Salt Lake City.
Jeremy from Salt Lake City, the town of my birth.
No kidding.
Yeah, I was born in Salt Lake City, Jeremy.
West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Oh, goodness.
How you doing tonight, Jeremy? You got one for the topic? Any three of them, really.
I will take Trick or Tom the topic?
Well, Trick or Tom is the hashtag. This is a good question, though. What is the Utah equivalent of Mischief Night?
Ooh, I can't. I mean, laws here are so strict, like, the penalties are just so
to talk about
so
it?
Hard. To talk about the penalties?
No, just to talk about Mischief Night. Are the penalties that tough in Utah?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I shouldn't be saying these things now.
Oh, that's insane. What part of Salt Lake City do you live in?
Well, I live in the university area.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe they go out and pretend to marry only one woman.
That's a deep burn on the state of Utah.
Well,
that's a deep, deep burn. Hey, you guys got garlic burgers, man, and I like a garlic burger.
Garlic burger.
Oh, yeah, and pastrami burgers.
Ooh, yeah, down at Astro?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pastrami. So you go to a place called Astro. They have them in L.A. too, but they put a lot of pastrami on a hamburger with some special sauce. It's very, very good. And then a garlic burger is just a very garlicky burger. There's like a dive there called the Cotton Bottom that I remember. That's very good. So,
but how did the garlic burger get its name?
Well, it just had a really good bun. They wanted to make sure that was completely featured.
Okay.
Well, thanks for calling, Jeremy.
Something? Thanks for taking it. I would maybe next time. I don't know the topic, so.
Okay.
I had a question for you. Did you grow up calling the night before Halloween anything? Was it Mischief Night to you?
That's what I asked. He said that they couldn't.
No.
There's laws in Utah, Pat.
Well, of course, there's laws here. It didn't stop Mischief Night.
Didn't stop Goosey Night.
Still. The goose is running wild. We need to get to the bottom of Goosey Night. I texted two of my friends that grew up in the Passaic County area.
Uh-huh.
And they're the culprits in my life that called this night Goosey Night.
Goosey Night.
Which it just sounds crazy. It sounds like I'm making it up.
Now, Mike, didn't you say there was a warning in Bayonne today?
Yeah, there was an incident last year in Bayonne where some marauders came in from Jersey City.
Marauders?
Yeah, and they were...
Or like Thunderdome?
Sort of like that.
They were homemade buggies?
Just creating havoc.
Okay.
Strolling down Broadway, the main drag in Bayonne.
Right.
And basically, what I kind of found humorous about the whole thing was that the police didn't round them up and arrest them or call their parents or anything like that. They basically got them in a group, and uh-huh. they herded them back into Jersey City with the police cars just sort of making sure they left town.
Right.
And, you know, that's how they concluded the...
So they were worried that the Marauders were going to come back to Bayonne.
That it was going to become a tradition, you know. And okay. You can understand.
Marauder night in Bayonne.
You know, it's like, let's go to Bayonne and... do that thing we did last year.
Isn't every night basically Mischief Night in Bayonne?
No, actually, you'd be surprised how quiet Bayonne is. I mean, I walk around fairly late at night. I don't see a soul.
Really?
Feel like I'm like the Omega Man, you know? Like the whole town is asleep.
Yeah.
I'm walking around. I'm like, I don't see anybody. You know,
Mike is a legend.
It's strange.
Best show, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Lori.
Hey, Lori, how are you?
As if we couldn't tell.
Well, I don't know. There's something for tradition, right?
Yeah.
So how are things?
Not bad. I've been canvassing in Raleigh because there's a guy who's commercials, whose political ad I really don't like, and every... primary every election season, he has the same white-haired lady who's like very stern-looking and mean and critical, and I'm like, this lady can't say anything nice about anyone.
She says that she has something. Is it something terrible each political season, or is it the same crappy thing over and over?
It's no, because he has a new opponent every season. So, you know, before he was trash talking this one guy because he had a ban. Uh-huh. And she's like the mouthpiece for this guy, George Holding.
Okay.
So, you know, if y'all are in District 2 in North Carolina, just please get rid of him so I don't have to see any more of these ads.
Yeah. If you're going to vote, just vote for this old woman's job to end soon.
Well, I think everybody... I think everybody across the country can relate to the bad ads. I mean, This is the worst time for turning on the television. One bad ad after another.
Yeah, I like the ones that are like down in. I mean, North Carolina's probably guilty. Georgia, Tennessee, mm-hmm. where the politicians just have to show like the shotgun that they own. They just like fire it in the air. Like, mm-hmm. look, I've got a gun.
Well, at the end of the commercial, he says, I'm George Holding, and I approve of that over a shot of him shaking some farmer in overalls his hand. Oh, my God.
And there's no way he's nice to that old woman. When the cameras are down, he's just like, all right, now get out of here.
He never even met her.
Here's your $20. Go.
He's not in the same room as she is. I doubt they've ever met.
That's in his contract.
I had a question about the Queen movie.
Yes. Okay. I can't spoil though. Tom said I'm not allowed to spoil.
Well, this will dictate whether or not I go see it.
Okay.
So I know that when Freddie Mercury was on tour, he would call his cat every night and talk to them.
Okay. You're gonna love this movie. You're gonna love this movie.
It happens in the movie.
It happens. It happens multiple times. So, if that's what you're going to see,
I'm in. Yeah.
Like you said, it is a great fictional movie about Queen. Like the ending
is
amazing.
That part is true.
That's in the 5% of accuracy for this film. That is in the 5%. The rest of the 5% is just John Deacon's very accurate haircuts in this film.
Well, so. I said I was going to ask my money back, ask for my money back if I went, and that wasn't in the movie. So I'm going to go and be a very satisfied customer.
I think you're going to enjoy it because it is it's a very fun part.
Cool. I mean, they didn't have FaceTime or Skype then.
No. It was just,
come on.
It was just a landline, man. Yeah, I know, Pat. It is hard to believe that Skype didn't exist in 1984.
No,
but it didn't. They didn't even have
video phones.
Yeah, they didn't even have Google Voice, Pat.
Wait a
minute. They didn't have those video phones like when you ride those Epcot rides and they show the future, and there's people chatting on screens.
Yeah.
They're calling each other and they're screaming.
Yeah, back then when they rode those rides at Epcot, they were like, this is what the future's really going to be like.
And the cat would stay near the phone when he called?
Well, the cat would hold the phone and be like, yes, Freddie, I understand.
They didn't have Facebook Portal then.
No.
I don't even know what that is.
You're talking about Spaceship Earth, the ride at Epcot?
Is it still there?
Facebook Portal is the new video phone.
What do you work for, Facebook?
Yeah, when did you start working for Facebook, Lori?
What is
this? I don't know, but I thought I had a big letdown from something I bought from Facebook, from a Facebook ad, and I'm sad about it.
Yeah. I think Facebook's been the biggest letdown for the past 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, this is like only the tip of the iceberg, but they had a sale for these sunglasses made for cats. And I thought, of all the cute pictures I could take of my cat, like I would put a little floral crown on her and like the sunglasses and she'd look like Lana Del Rey, or I'd make her look like a hippie. I'd put a tie-dye shirt on her. She will not let me put the glasses on her.
You could go to any truck stop and get some sunglasses that are going to look awesome on a cat.
But like they're perfectly sized for cats.
I'm sure they have some of those there at the truck stop too. Like truckers come in all sizes.
Yeah. Okay.
Truckers come in all sizes. I can hear one of your voiceover ads.
Yeah, Flying J truck stop, because truckers come in all sizes.
But what if it started with that, like the chicken? What was it?
On cat sunglasses.
How much should you spend on cat sunglasses?
How much is too much?
$19.95.
Okay, no, this is on sale. They're normally $24.99. I got them for $7.99.
That's a good deal. That's a real good deal on cat sunglasses.
I was saying $1.99.
You were saying, see, yeah. So, Mike's really lowballing these cat sunglasses.
I can't believe you can put your cat in a shirt.
Put your cat in some cat sunglasses.
You can get your shirt a shirt on a cat.
I haven't tried that yet.
Oh,
but she doesn't
good luck
bite
with
her
that.
Cat. She's a very polite young lady.
Get your phone ready for that one.
Have a friend.
I want to see the video of you putting a T-shirt on a cat.
Yeah. That would go viral.
That'll go viral. Is
yeah.
Right.
That's how you...
Well, actually, vets recommend that instead of using the collar, you know, the little cone of shame, if they have stitches and they're biting,
yeah.
You can get a toddler clothes in size 3, and it'll fit most cats.
Is anything above 3, like, not in that cat level?
No, I mean... You size up if they're fat.
Okay, so like a heftier cat, you're putting them in like a 6 or 7.
And here's a suggestion. Make the shirt wet. Put like a cold, wet T-shirt on the cat.
That's torture, Mike.
I'm thinking of a viral video for it.
Oh, he's not even thinking about the safety of the cat. Videos. You just want to be on America's Funniest Home Videos.
I'm not doing that to my cat. Yesterday was National Cat Day. You got to respect your cat.
You do. You do, I agree with that.
And, you know, they make Snapchat filters for cats now.
They make what?
They make Snapchat filters expressly for cats.
So if you put your face in front of it, it won't recognize it. But as soon as
you can have both of you in the photo, and it'll put a filter on the cat as well as you. Or you can just have your cat in there.
Well, that technology existed in the Bohemian Rhapsody movie because Freddie was doing that with his cats.
That's really sad that technology existed. I bet his productivity would have gone down a lot.
Well, I think the cocaine kept the productivity down. As well.
Well, yes,
but
so like all the cat videos and...
Or maybe up.
Maybe that would have inspired him.
I think that's probably... Yeah, it's a stimulant. So...
Yeah. He probably would have written a lot more songs about cats.
Well, he has some... I mean, he has some great songs about cats, like
I know,
Delilah.
I know that he wrote that for his cat.
Yeah. Can you see the other guys in Queen's faces... When Freddie's pitching the song Delilah for them to finish. Like, all right, Freddie.
Well,
we'll
you know
that.
What? Maybe they were cat people, too.
Well, not according to this movie. Yeah. There's no cat hate in the film.
Will there ever be a better Freddie Mercury?
Will there ever be a better Freddie Mercury film? Is that your question? Or Freddie Mercury?
Like, casted Freddie Mercury, do you think?
I'm crapping all over this movie, but I will say that Rami was awesome at it.
Yeah.
He was fantastic. Right. And all the other guys that played the members of Queen, especially the dude that played Brian May, was so creepily spot on. Mm-hmm. Like, voice and everything.
Now, Freddie was bisexual, right?
Freddie was bisexual, but he was more. I think he did identify more as gay towards the end of his life.
Well, look, it's a spectrum.
Completely.
Not everyone's 50%.
Completely.
50-50.
And the movie kind of touches on a little bit of that, but probably not, like, you know, enough if you're doing a proper movie about Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
So. But Rami was awesome, and I would recommend going to see the film just for him. And the dude that plays Brian May.
I'm just going to...
And John Deacon.
To watch him talk to his cat.
That is the best reason to go.
Now,
I mean,
did Adam Lambert make a cameo?
None.
I think we sold some tickets tonight.
I think we sold at least 50 tickets.
Yeah.
In this call.
I mean, I should get something for that.
You should.
From the producer.
Yeah, you need to reach out to 21st Century Fox.
They should give me a free ticket.
Or the producer, Graham King,
they
who was standing behind me.
A ticket at the very least.
Tweet at them.
Isn't it 20th Century
Fox? Okay.
It's 20th Century Fox, but...
Because if she calls 21st...
Well, there is a company called 21st Century Fox, which is the holding company for 20th and for, like, the television networks and everything. 21st Century Fox was the company that was basically sold to Disney. So.
Oh, the X-Men properties and all that.
Yeah, that's still under 20th Century Fox, but the holding company overall, guys, I'm going way too much into my day job here, is 21st Century Fox. So, there you go.
Doesn't Disney have X-Men now?
They will once this deal goes through. They'll have X-Men, the Fantastic Four.
When they come for me.
Yeah.
I won't.
Spidey?
Yeah.
Well, they already got Spidey.
They already have a deal with Sony to do Spider-Man films.
Not Sony, not...
For so. Sony still owns...
This is way too confusing.
I know.
They splinter. Well, now it's all under one house. And now Disney owns everything.
Yeah.
They don't own me, baby.
They own me.
They don't own me. They don't own me.
I am part of the Disney corporation.
Not me, man.
Yep. Any decision I make, I have to consult with them first.
Nope.
So
I'm not down with the mouse.
Unfortunately, Michael Eisner isn't there anymore. He creeped me out. I met him once when I was a little girl, and my dad wanted me to shake his hand, and I did not.
What's he? Just shake Michael Eisner's hand. Lori, he's got his hand out. Shake Michael Eisner's hand.
Oh, what was the circumstances? Where did you meet him?
My dad was a travel writer, and he was interviewing him about the hotel property.
Crazy. Okay. I don't think I'd shake Michael Eisner's hand. He's creepy. I will go on record with that, too.
Well, now that we know what your dad did, who were your guys?
What do you mean, who were my guys?
It's the second question most asked on WTF. So we have to know who your dad was, and then we have to know who your guys were.
Okay. I listened to Obama one.
That's a good topic for the show.
What if I made a grid? What if I made?
Did he ask for Obama? Who are your guys? What is his answer?
I mean, what if I do a research project and make a big grid?
What are you going back to college?
Every guest that was on WTF. Who, like, what their dad did and who their guys were.
Yeah, these were their guys, .net.
From Obama down to, like, you know,
is there a limit
Gilbert
on the number
Godfrey.
Of guys you can have?
Yeah.
I guess
how many guys can you have?
Three.
Three guys?
I mean,
yeah.
They're asking about comedians, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do they have to be male?
No, they don't. Guys
okay,
could be,
I'm
going to
say Maria Bamford.
Maria Brandt Bamford.
She's
that's
my
a good guy.
Guy.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Good guy.
Good solid guy.
Solid guy.
That's a great guy.
Yeah.
Lori, we got a lot of calls coming through, so we got to hop through. Thank you so much for the call. Bye.
Well done.
Best show. You are on the air. Or maybe not.
Hello?
It's going to be Bob again. He's like, I forgot to mention.
Andy Kindler's listening. Where's his call?
So yeah. He's going to be blasting the television.
You know the hotline, Andy. Just saying.
Okay. I'm going to let this one go. There wasn't even any snoring.
I forgot to tell Tom
And then you go, line two, I'm sorry.
I forgot to tell Tom that Kindler wrote to him saying to try the peanut butter pancakes at France. So remind me to tell Tom that.
Okay. Is that a Canadian thing?
It's a Canadian thing. I wonder who Kindler's guys were. I could go back to the archives.
Who are your guys?
Oh, man. Conan.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. The Pep Boys definitely are up there. Wait.
The Pep Boys?
I guess in the auto maintenance world, they were my guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are good guys.
Yeah. And also, Conan was the name of my mechanic, so I switched
gears.
Wow,
you really messed this one up.
Yeah.
Mike, who are your guys?
I don't know.
You don't know?
You have to say comedians.
You don't have to.
No.
You can say Jerry Garcia.
You can say Bob Dylan. Yeah.
You can say Bob Dylan. Guys.
Dylan.
Say Bob. Yeah. Bob where?
Jerry.
Bruce.
Jerry.
Yeah, I guess Bruce later on.
Not when you met him.
I was a reluctant Bruce fan because I was so...
Because you're from here.
Yeah, from that area.
Did you ever see Steel Mill live?
No. It was before my time.
Before your time.
Come on.
Hey, God, I don't know.
that's like Steel Mill's like 60, come on. 70.
Yeah, I would have been 5.
Yeah.
Best show, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, who is this?
This is Ben from Philadelphia.
Ben from Philadelphia, you're here with me, Dudio, Mike, Pat. You know, Tom could call in at any time. You never know. That's just how the show goes right now.
Hi, Jason. Hi, Mike. Hi, Pat.
Yeah, do you have one for the topic?
Yeah, I didn't realize Tom wouldn't be there. I thought something you touched on before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true. It was like big letdowns.
Okay, what was a big letdown for you? Something you were just, like, really ready for, and it really let you down.
The Grateful Dead.
Oh, here we go. I should probably... Mike's... Oh, you should see his face. He's just beat red right now.
Hey.
You know, I talked to Mike about this once at NASA's a couple years ago.
Mike, do you remember this conversation?
I have so many conversations.
About the Grateful Dead at NASA's?
Yeah. I mean, remind me.
What is your biggest issue with the Grateful Dead?
No, it's just I saw the skull. It looked really cool. I was waiting to hear the music. You know, that was that skull.
You wanted metal. You wanted like a hard sound. You got faked out, right?
My wife's laughing so hard. I expected something that wasn't that. Metal, hard sound. Otherwise, I could see that.
That would be a letdown.
See, I went the other way because I look at that skull and I know that skull is effed up, and I know he's going to play some droning guitar music for at least 30 minutes, and I'm okay with that. I'm on board. See, this is one thing that Mike and I have in common. Like, I do like the Grateful Dead. I'm not as like intense.
I like the hits.
You're only into Touch of Grey.
He's not a touchhead. I don't think he's a touchhead.
What's a touchhead? See, I'm not that much of a fan. I don't know that.
People became fans when Touch of Grey came out.
Oh, and you guys hate those guys.
Well, they jumped on the bandwagon late, and then they were out of control. And I mean, I wasn't going at that time. I got off the bus in 78.
What about Shakedown Streetheads? Did you hate those guys too?
Well, no, that was kind of the end for me. You know, I mean,
that was the end.
Yeah, those last couple records, it was like Terrapin and then Shakedown Street, and then I didn't even buy Go to Heaven. I was like, I'm done with this band. And,
have you bought it since then?
No. Well, I think I have it in a box set, but I haven't.
But you took it out and broke it.
I ever played it, to tell you the truth.
This is Dead Talk. Call 201 Dead Hug.
Those late records are tough for me. I can't listen to them.
What about Dylan and the Dead?
Oh, that's terrible. That's a terrible record.
Wait, are you kidding? That really happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they went on tour together.
What was that, 88?
Around there.
Once again, showing his fans he can do anything he wants. Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
That's like his legacy.
I mean, there may have been good shows, but what they released was pretty terrible.
In 95, a little before Jerry died, my sister was getting into them, and I got Skeletons from the Closet or In the Closet. Which one is it?
Yeah, that's like the greatest.
Yeah, I had that in like what would have been like fifth or sixth grade, and dug the songs on it. I later got a copy as an LP. Mm-hmm.
First record I got by them, you know.
And then, hearing like American Beauty is like a good album.
Oh yeah, you
know? I had Working Man's Dead.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that was a good record.
I like 70s country rock, you know, and some of that stuff tinges on that, and it's good. Yeah. Like you know, Graham. Hello.
Graham Parsons.
Yeah, Graham Parsons.
Hello. What are you? Are you in your garage? Are you looking for the tire pump?
Are you asking me that?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I just said that Working Man's Dead was the one I heard of my dad's record. Seeing the skull and t-shirts.
What did he do, your dad?
Hey, who was your dad's guys?
What did my dad do for a living and who was my dad's guys? Is that the question you
both questions, yes. Yes. We're going to need answers on both.
My dad was a lawyer and his guys were... I don't know.
Pet Boys?
My brother and I.
F. Lee Belly.
Okay. Yeah, that can be.
Who were your guys?
My dad was a defense contract auditor.
Uh-huh.
And his guys were anyone on Fox News from 1994 to 2009.
Yeah.
So.
My dad's guys would be like Chris Matthews.
That's it. Chris Matthews, what else do you need?
He loved Robert Kennedy.
Okay.
And Bruce.
I misunderstood. My dad's guys would have been like maybe Little Feet or something.
Okay. Little Feet.
I thought you said Little Steve.
Yeah.
Well, him too.
It's an honor to be dad in the world. It's an honor to be anyone's guy.
Hey, thanks for the call, man. 201-332-3484. Yeah, I love the dad. I do. I mean, it's nothing like...
I don't love them, but I like some songs.
When it's on, I don't turn it off. Like, if they come up on the Tom Petty Pandora, mm-hmm. which is a rarity, but if they do, I'm going to listen to it.
Yeah, it's not all good. I mean, I'm not one of these people that think everything they did was great. No
way.
Right. I mean, I'm pretty much after 78... You know, it's hit You're or miss. Done. Definitely hit or miss for me.
You still saw him live after 78.
No. I stopped seeing him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I kind of made the break quick. And the only reason I got into him later was that they started releasing those Dick's Picks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was never a tape collector. You know, I mean, I had one tape I made myself.
Mm-hmm.
They had a live show from the Passaic Theater and Capitol Theater in Passaic.
Sure. Yep.
Like, that was 78.
Why is it that, like, you hear of all of the recordings from the Capitol Theater and that they're all legendary? Like, you always hear of the Dead Show. You always hear of the...
Clash.
The Clash, the Springsteen Show, yeah. The R.E.M. show that was there.
It was a great theater. I mean, it was not too large, you know. It was
how many
nice size.
Hold?
I don't know. I would say maybe 700, 800. Huh.
It was started by a guy named John Shear.
Yeah.
And, there's a Backstreets.com article interviewed by Jay Lustig that...
are you looking at it right now?
Yeah, I had a tab open of it, actually, just because I wanted to finish reading it.
It's like, this is really detailed.
Yeah, man. But he's still out there. He does kind of talks and stuff. He's out of the music business, but he kind of became a promoter, I think, accidentally, and mm-hmm. then started doing Capitol shows. Before that, it was... was it kind of a rundown porn theater before that or something?
I don't know about that. It may have been a movie theater, a regular
but
movie
it was,
theater.
Maybe it was
it
closed
been,
down for
it
a while.
Been, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It definitely, like, revitalized the
yeah,
area.
I don't know the whole history.
A little bit, yeah. It was
I saw a
my
few
time.
Shows there. It was a nice venue.
Yeah, man. And he was an early Springsteen manager, too.
Yeah.
We're not talking about Bruce, though. We're talking about the dead. 201 Dead Hug.
We're not. Mischief Night. Big letdown. Big surprise. Big letdown, big surprise. Either one of you guys.
Perry Schall had an interesting take on why it's called Goosey Night.
Okay.
It was so good that it made me think, well, maybe they called it that in Philly, too, or something.
So what was the take?
I'm pulling it back up, so bear with me a second.
Perry, if you want to call and tell us what this take is.
We're on Twitter at The Best Show, in case you don't know. At Best Show for Life, excuse me.
Best Show for Life.
Now, Perry says, it is called Goosey Night because geese lay eggs and people throw eggs and, maybe someone even eggs a house and yells, you got goosied. And then he says, seems pretty obvious, and tagged us all. Well, tag me in the show.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Perry.
201-332-3484. That's 201 Dead Hug.
I don't know about that one at all.
I want somebody to really fight for Goosey Night. Devil's Night was another one.
Uh-huh.
What else?
We're living it. We are in it right now.
Yeah,
in just a few hours, it's going to be Halloween. Your Goosey Night's over. Your Mischief Night is over.
I didn't see a lot of street activity coming in.
Yeah.
Either here or...
I got another one.
In my hometown.
Cabbage Night.
Cabbage Night. Yeah. Where's that?
People called it Cabbage Night.
Where?
I don't know. I want to know. 201-332-3484. If you called it anything besides October 30th.
That probably came from the era. You ever see like old movies where, what? You know...
People are getting heckled.
Well, yeah, people are getting heckled, and the next thing you know, there's like all these vegetables flying towards the stage, tomatoes.
Has that ever happened at a live event that you've been at?
It must have, you know. I mean, yeah. I don't think they made that up for those movies.
Right.
It must have been a thing, like in the 20s or 30s or whatever. Some of these movies are set.
Yeah.
But you've seen it, right?
I mean, I've seen it.
Yeah.
But I've never actually seen it.
But, like, you know, how did you get the fruit and vegetables into the theater where you know, there was no, like, security?
Was that a Shakespeare thing? Did they, like, bring tomatoes to throw
actually,
at the Globe Theater?
It may even go back that far, yeah, where you could bring food into the theater.
Is Goosey Night because of Shakespeare? 201-332-3484. Best Show, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, this is Rachel in Des Moines.
Rachel in Des Moines. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, this is Dudio. You got Pat, you got Mike.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Pat. Hey, Dudio.
Hey, hello. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I was just calling because here in central Iowa, Des Moines, the night before Halloween is Beggar's Night.
Beggar's Night?
Yeah.
Yes, it was started in, I looked it up, it was started in the late 1930s to kind of combat the goings-on of a Mischief Night or a Goosey Night. And the woman that ran the Parks and Rec Department in Des Moines kind of laid down the law. And so part of it was that kids are supposed to tell a joke when they go trick-or-treating. And so my brother and I did grow up doing that. This year I didn't get any jokes. I felt bad, but I got some trick-or-treaters. And so it was at least good to have some kids come by.
Were they ever good jokes? Do you remember some of the jokes you would use to get candy?
Wait a second. They're doing the trick-or-treating early? They get a jump on...
Yeah, it's beggar's night. They're begging for candy.
But then they'll come out tomorrow, too?
No, Halloween's always canceled in Des Moines.
Oh. So it's a two-night thing or
it's
a one-night
thing?
It's also
illegal to dance.
A two-night thing.
Or they just get a jump on the rest of the country?
You just get a jump, and then you can go to your Halloween party on Halloween.
Oh, okay. That's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're just always pretty much groaners, you know?
They're just groaners, okay.
Why did the man throw a clock out the window?
Yeah.
Why?
He wanted to see time fly.
Yeah, I even knew that one.
I'd give candy for
they're
that.
They're actually that's more a, riddles.
It's riddle night.
Yeah, it's riddle night. Uh-huh.
Or the, you know, they can get, like, a spooky-themed one, like... why didn't the Invisible Man go to the dance? He had no body to go with.
There you go.
What do they get if they tell racist jokes and the person really doesn't want to hear that?
They shouldn't be telling those jokes anyway.
I know.
Oh, yikes! No, I've never
I'm
had
saying,
that.
What do they get to be punished?
You have to come back to the GOP caucuses.
There you go.
That's a good punishment.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you for the call. I appreciate that. That's really good to know.
Yeah, good talking with you guys.
Take care. Beggar's Night.
Iowa always wants to be first. What's with that? When they got like a chip on their shoulder?
They really do.
You know,
they're carrying the weight of the world.
They got to beat the rest of the country on everything?
Them and New Hampshire.
Yeah.
Just neck and neck all the time.
Oh, man.
When her saying that, like, were you, Pat, talking about racist jokes? Made me think of, you know, a punishment. You know, there at a point in time when I was young, in Radford, trick or treating, there was a guy who kept slipping like razors into the Snickers bars or apples.
It was actually
like that.
It was you know somebody who did that.
Yeah, I know of a guy who
I mean,
did
I know
that.
The myth of
right.
Of
no,
that being
he
a
must
thing.
Have heard the myth, uh-huh. and then he's like, "Well, that's a good idea." And I got all these razors.
Really?
Right. And I got all these apples.
Those razors are expensive.
I know.
I mean, to do it today.
I mean, he probably had a stockpile.
To pull that off, you'd have to be, spend a lot of money.
You're really in the hole.
Yeah. The old razor blade and the apple. It was a classic.
Yeah.
So you're saying you know
also somebody in a Snickers bar.
Who actually did that.
Yes.
And did they nail the guy?
They did nail the guy, but they were worried about all of the candy that had already been out. So you had to get your candy x-rayed. At the local hospital.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is also not a good thing.
So, yeah, you're just going to wait around to eat the candy.
Yeah.
And then you could go room to room trick-or-treating while you're in the hospital.
Not even that. Not even that. They were just like, clear, and hand you their bag of candy.
What year was that?
I'm going to say 1986.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's true. He had a ton of razors. Now, I do think this could have also
been...
Did
anybody bite into it? And was
there were some kids that were injured.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. All right.
This also may have been a guy. Like, did you ever have, at kids' baseball games, like the guy that would come around in the station wagon, like, selling snow cones? Did you ever have any of those weird, like...
No. I had, drunk dads that would show up and just be belligerent through the whole game.
Yeah.
And it'd be terrifying.
I want to talk to you off air about that.
About the snow cone man? Guy.
Yeah.
Oh, guy. I still get the willies thinking
maybe
about that
Maybe if you
guy.
Go to a song right now, we could sideline for you, make sure you're okay.
Are you like, I thought you were going to be like, that was my dad.
Oh, no.
My dad was a snow cone man in Bradford, Virginia.
Maybe people can
call
in and tell us about the worst things they received as Halloween. I mean, the worst things for me when, you were trick-or-treating was, one, apples. I didn't like fruit, So it's like you get an apple and it's like, what? It's like, what am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
Plus you heard all the stories about the razor blade, so it's like no, you're not going to eat it.
The truth.
Period,
Because they're not myths.
Number two worst trick-or-treating item, donuts. Donuts.
That's a northern thing, man. Never happened in the south.
People will give you like those sugar coated donuts. So not only
like the powdered donuts.
Yeah, the powdered donut.
What they reach throw it in you individuals?
They throw it in your bag, and then you got that powdered sugar all over everything.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. That's what I'm saying.
That's
like
the worst.
It's bad, right?
That should be number one. I'd rather have an apple with an eraser in it.
If you're just joining us, Tom's not here tonight, and we're on our eighth topic of the night.
I know, we're really blowing through the topics.
We're on number eight.
And then the worst was, no offense, but they weren't big fans of Halloween.
Uh-huh.
There was always one Jehovah's Witness house that you couldn't go to because... Because they're wet blankets, right? They didn't believe in Halloween.
They didn't like fun.
So you couldn't get an apple.
What did
or
they
a
give
powdered
you?
Powdered donut. You got nothing. It's like the door was never
They didn't
open.
Even give you like a copy of the Watchtower or something?
You just knew the house.
That's a great opportunity.
No, you knew the house and you knew to bypass that house. So there they are. Those.
Wow. I mean, I wouldn't go up to any house that didn't have a pumpkin or a light something showing like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's a scary looking house, I'm going to keep walking.
Right.
This was in the era.
It's spooky looking.
This was in the era before.
Even then, I don't care.
What do they call those inflatables and is some other animatronics? I saw this in an ad for Halloween decorations.
Okay.
Animatronics.
So is it like a skeleton that moves?
It's one of the moving decorations. I mean, Halloween decorations weren't what they are today. I mean, today.
No.
Halloween's been a booming holiday, It's gone up in popularity,
It's quite the industry.
Where you have other holidays like Columbus Day are like sinking fast.
Bad decorations.
they have holiday greeting cards for Halloween.
It's like,
yeah.
But, I mean, decorations weren't a big thing when I was trick-or-treating.
Mike,
so that wasn't like an indicator.
You grew up in the era where, correct me if I'm wrong, but they had... I
gas shortages.
When Jason and I were coming up doing Halloween, thinking about our guys, they had I just can't let it go.
You got it.
Sorry. I should say we maybe never mind. Point is those Halloween costumes, I think during our era it was being phased out. But
a store bought.
It was just a plastic bag with the name of the person that.
Were the best. No, that
and then it was a cheap mask.
I had that.
Oh,
they
yeah,
were like
yeah.
you
the rubber
go through
bands.
Yeah. Yeah, you go through the aisle and you have all of these options and like those boxes.
So it was like a Fonzie mask.
Oh, the
best. But then it was a picture of the Fonz himself, so people knew what your costume
right.
was on a plastic bag.
Like, what is this kid? Oh, it's the Fonz.
Yeah, and I think. Bob Sellers did a little thing that we retweeted where it was like Tom's face in one of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I saw
that. I think
one.
We retweeted it. But
and those masks were so uncomfortable.
Oh, they would
like,
cut you.
After about 5 minutes, the thing
yeah.
was on the top of your head.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And like the where the staple was, it would always start to split and just cut you
yeah,
if you
staple.
Tried to get it off.
Yeah, one staple on each side.
Oh,
yeah.
The absolute worst. The what cheapest, great memories, though.
The cheapest
great memories.
Costumes.
I remember going to Hills. There was a department store named Hills down, I think they like started in Ohio or something, and they had all of those, just aisles and aisles of amazing costumes like this. Yeah. But we do have a caller, Best Show, you're on the air.
How are you?
Yes, you are. Sorry, we've been talking.
Hi, Stephen from Buffalo.
Stephen, how are you?
Good.
You got one for the topic?
I had something for what you're talking about.
Go for it.
The worst thing to get trick-or-treating.
Okay. Mike, you want to field this one?
I think the worst thing is probably those balls of, popcorn, caramel corn.
Oh, yeah.
They stick to everything.
I hated those.
Not malt balls.
Not malt balls, but like the caramel corn formed into a ball.
Yeah, I didn't get a lot of those. Yeah, that was a popular thing.
Yeah, it was bad.
How big was it?
It was pretty big. It was
like a
baseball size. Yeah, it was like a softball.
Softball.
It was like caramel and corn.
It's a lot of stuff to eat, though.
It is.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
What would it melt? Or
mine never melted. Did yours melt?
Caller? Where's the caller?
Yeah, they like melt and they like get on everything.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right.
I don't know why people would get that.
Yeah.
Bad candy.
But it seems like just to have it in your house and you're handing out one of those for every person.
Yeah, and you're not wearing gloves when you're handing them out.
Yeah.
So you're getting a lot of stuff on it. Also, they were perfect for razors.
Yeah.
They're really perfect for razors. Uh-huh. Well, thank you for the call. That's a bad candy.
Yeah.
201-332-3484, our eighth topic of the night.
I'm going to add more topics.
Keep going.
I'm going to throw out another topic.
Mike is making this as freeform as possible tonight.
What was your last Halloween costume?
What was my last Halloween costume?
And or if you had to dress up this year, mm-hmm. What would your costume be this year?
That's like topic 9 and 10.
Yeah,
those are both good, though.
I'm throwing everything at the wall. Whatever sticks.
201-332-3484. Pat, what was your last costume?
Well, I did Stick or Treat last night.
Okay.
And I was Lenny Bruce.
Does that count, though,
nice.
Because that's a show?
No, it's a show. It's a Halloween show. I was a Halloween costume.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And that was when I celebrated Halloween. So it was fun. And I was at the Bell.
What'd you wear? Like a shark skin suit or...?
No, I wore like a black suit, and I borrowed a trench coat from the vintage store downtown, Another Man's Treasure. They hooked me up, and
plug?
Yeah.
That was a plug.
It's at the Knitting Factory.
I got to tell Tom about
and
that.
It was
I'm
great.
Writing it down.
Uh-huh. And, Robert Dean, who I mentioned earlier, was...
Pat gave free
plug. Go ahead. Here, borrow my pen.
No, I got it. Pat gave free plug.
But it was almost a direct reference to that show, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
So, because
it's a great show.
So I did like a couple lines, but then I introduced Robert Dean, who was in drag as Miss Maisel. So that got a good reaction.
Nice.
So that was my last Halloween costume.
Nice. Best show. You're on the air.
And a few plugs.
Oh, hey, this is Jacob in Oxford, Mississippi.
Jacob.
Hey, which topic are you calling about?
You've got 20 topics to pick from, Jacob.
Thank you. My last Halloween costume and the worst possible thing to get in your Halloween bag.
Okay, let's go with costume first.
Okay, this current Halloween, I went to a Halloween party on Friday with my Devo Whippet.
Nice.
Yeah.
You had, like, the hat and everything?
I used a dog ball, right?
I'm sorry, what's
that? Did you use a dog ball for the hat?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
That would have been smart.
That's what I would have done.
You bought the actual hat, right? You can order that now, right?
Energy Dome. Yeah, I got one.
You got an Energy Dome?
Yeah.
So you just told Mike that would have been a good thing, but you had the hat the whole time.
Yeah, but for this guy, I wouldn't have been able to mail him that hat. If you're improvising on short notice, a dog bowl is pretty genius, Mike.
Yeah. That's good. Okay, worst candy, Jacob.
Not even a candy. In my neighborhood growing up, there was always this old lady on the block that would give out Bible pamphlets.
There you go. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
How many pages?
Another wet blanket, yeah. I call them wet blankets.
Not many pages.
Did that house become a target during Mischief Night? I mean, those are the houses that became targets, you know?
Oh, yeah. Those are the houses that got TP'd. Big
time. Out where he's from, it's called Wet Blanket Night.
I love that Mike's breaking down all the requirements for which people you target in your neighborhood.
Well, come on. I mean, you know, you're handing out Bible pamphlets to kids. Come on. I mean, you know.
Like, yeah, pretty much. You understand
come
what's
on.
Coming. So.
You know.
Well, all right,
you're
Jacob.
Asking for it. You're
Thank
asking
you so much for the call. Okay, my last, God, what was the last Halloween thing? I don't dress up like, I don't do Halloween very often because I do so much sketch comedy. I'm in costume a lot.
Have you and Kristen ever done a couple's costume in your history?
No, not that
Good for you. I applaud you. I'm proud of you.
We've been married 13 years. We've never done.
Tempted, right?
I just got so much more respect for you.
Thank you. I honestly think the last costume I ever wore, I dressed up like I still had my graduation like gown thing.
So you were a judge?
I was Judge Judy.
That's good.
Wow.
My mom put on a nice little collar.
I can't even imagine.
On it, and I had like the hair, and it was. And I was
I'm trying
just,
to
I
picture
was
it.
Yelling at everybody, it was wonderful because Judge Judy's amazing. Yeah, that's what it was.
That's a wish again. The Supreme Court, Judge.
Yeah,
Judy.
Judge Judy. Why not?
You know,
we could do that.
Anyway.
Okay, Mike, your last costume?
Well, my brother used to throw some pretty good Halloween parties. Mm-hmm. He was living in a house in Springfield, New Jersey. But, you know, I was like in my 30s, I think. So it's like I was kind of past the age of taking much pleasure in dressing up for Halloween.
Right.
So I went for the easiest thing I could do was I wore a suit. I had a copy of the Book of Mormon, and I went as a Mormon.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It was easy. You called the number and got the book, right? And had it delivered to you.
I'm giving the Mormons a hard time tonight.
Yeah, you've been really tough on the Mormons.
They kind of deserve it, though. I mean, they're bizarre. You know, it's like, you ever try and read the Book of Mormon? It's an unreadable book.
I have.
Unreadable.
I think there's a musical about it.
I mean, as tough as the Bible is to read,
right?
The Book of Mormon is incomprehensible.
And they're both tough reads.
And you want to hear one of the most bizarre fun facts about Mormons?
Is this which topic is this, Pat?
we're at 84.
We're at 84, okay.
We're all going to be converted to
Mormons. Oh, it's already
Mormons
happened.
Because,
yeah, no.
Because they convert you after you die.
Right.
So, you know, we all eventually become Mormons. After we die.
I can hear Tom from Toronto begging
like,
you to
what?
Move on. Begging this.
What are they talking about?
Begging you to be.
Wait
you
a second. Isn't this in the Book of Mormon? I haven't seen the play, but I'm sure all this stuff comes up there, right?
Tell me there's a call.
There is a call. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, hi, Jason. Hi, Pat. Hi, Mike. This is Taylor in Los Angeles.
Taylor, how are you? How's Los Angeles?
Oh, you know, it's fine. It's fine. There was a smog index or whatever you call it today of, like, please don't go outside. So
Lipstick
that was
City.
So it was just it was just a complete haze, right?
Yeah, well, yesterday was worse, actually. But, yeah, I from where I work, you couldn't see a thing. It was pretty bad.
Is that a fall thing for L.A.? The only reason I ask is because I was out there for, you know, like 6 weeks. Back in April, and I never experienced that.
Well, this is technically my second fall here.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's a trend. I'm sure other Angelinos could tell you, but
right.
I didn't see it last fall, but then again, I didn't really, I was just kind of still adjusting to living here, so I wasn't really noticing too much.
Gotcha.
Well, Taylor, I'm going to spin the wheel of topics for tonight and see see which one you want. You can tell me which one it's going to hit.
And we haven't even gotten to the big one, right? Right, Pat?
Oh, he's got more.
Yeah. The After 11 topic.
Oh, I know.
Stay tuned for the After 11 topic.
AP Mike After Hours.
After Hours, yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. This is exactly where Tom said not to take the show.
Well, I'm glad I called in early then.
Yeah.
I just have an anecdote.
Okay.
You mentioned, or Mike mentioned Jehovah's Witnesses. Mm-hmm. Is that the proper plural? I don't even know.
Yeah.
So where I grew up in Colorado, there was a farm. There was a pumpkin farm that was just outside of town. That's where you went and got your pumpkins. Mm-hmm. And the farm was run by Jehovah's Witnesses. And I don't know if they were okay with what they were doing or if they were just pure capitalists. They're like, well, here's a chance to make money off of people who don't believe the same as us.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. They found a way to spin it without participating in it. Yeah, okay.
Well, also, couldn't some of those pumpkins been made into pie?
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, it's a vegetable,
some of the smaller ones, yeah. There's
or is it a gourd?
Small.
It's a vegetable gourd?
Yeah,
I want to screw this up
because
I'm waiting. I'm waiting to look at my. Is it a gourd or a fruit or a vegetable? A pumpkin.
That's a good question. I think it might technically be a fruit.
This show can be educational. You know, I try to keep it educational. I'm learning. The listener's learning.
So a gourd is a fleshy, typically large fruit with a hard skin, some varieties of which are edible.
Uh-huh.
So, it's got seeds. It's fruit.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so they didn't pass out their pamphlets, but they did have them up at the counter.
And stuffed inside their pumpkins.
They'll kind of give it to you with your receipt kind of thing, I think. But one year their crop failed, and all the pumpkins were green. They weren't ripe yet. But the Jehovah's Witness geniuses decided that it happened to be the time of year, or the time of whatever, pop culture, that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were very popular. So they made them all into Ninja Turtles, and the kids loved it. They went wild. They might have even sold more pumpkins that year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Right.
Wow.
Well, they came around to exploiting it.
Again.
Yeah.
So there you go. Halloween anecdote.
There you go, Taylor. Thank you so much.
Hey, Taylor, how's L.A. treating you?
It's okay. It's a bit big for me, I think. We'll see. We'll see how it goes ultimately, but.
Do you like driving?
You know what? I don't have a car here, actually.
You've survived this whole time without a car.
Do you do the metro there?
I have. I do the bus. The metro.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you tell people in LA you don't have a car, people feel like they judge you.
Yeah.
So,
they do judge you.
Yeah. I have a lack of moral character because I don't have a car.
I respect that.
I agree with that.
I honor you.
I do agree.
You guys doing okay in New Jersey? Everything all right out there?
Yeah, studio's holding up.
Yeah. Say it's a lonely place without Tom Sharpling. I'm going to say that.
I think I should take the recycling out, but it's a little late to make that big clunk, clunk, clunk into the can.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
We'll just leave it for Tom.
Yeah.
When
that's
he gets
fair.
Here. And
that's fair.
It's what he'll want.
He'll enjoy that.
Well, you guys have a good show, and I might have to turn it off after 11 if it's going to get dirty.
Yeah, why?
Mike's loosey
goosey. I might have to walk out. Yeah, Mike.
Mike is loosey goosey.
We got Lucy night with Mike.
Yeah.
After 11 p.m., so.
We're giving it our own name.
I may even have to change the bed.
Oh, boy.
Who knows? Taylor, thank you for the call.
Yeah, I'll talk to you guys later.
Right.
201-332-3484.
Callers that we haven't had in a long time.
I know. It's nice.
Yeah. We want more of that.
It's nice.
201-332-3484.
Ooh, we're 15 minutes away from...
Dead hug.
Whatever. Loose material Mike is going to present us with. I didn't even know there was a bigger topic coming, so I don't know if this is anticipation. Is it fear?
It's fear.
I think it's fear. Yeah. I think you're right, Pat.
You're right.
What was the worst Halloween candy you ever got, Pat?
I wasn't a big candy guy. I loved the act of trick-or-treating, but when I actually got the candy, except for, like, Kit Kats, I really didn't like eating any of it.
Did you give it to your dad or something?
No, my older sister would slowly eat it, and then eventually we just have this big thing of candy that sat there like all year. Sometimes I would like bring it to school and give it to people.
My dad would eat mine.
Really?
I'd find like the bag knocked over in the middle of the night, like basically like he's a raccoon coming through the kitchen. And a raccoon that decided to eat all of my Kit Kats.
I love a Kit Kat in the freezer. The fun size Kit Kat.
Oh, that's good.
Just snapping.
Also, that probably would have kept my dad from getting his claws into it. He's not going to open the freezer. He just smells the bag.
My roommate was lonely for Kit Kats and Halloween candy in general. So he bought the mixed bag that comes with like Reese's and stuff.
Oh, that's
and
a good bag.
I put a couple in the freezer for myself. Kit Kat size. Fun size.
Fun size.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't a big candy guy. Candy weren't my... I'm not going to say it.
What if we ended this show
at
10:59? And we never, ever find out.
I know what it is.
What AP Mike After Hours
No, me and Pat are...
you guys already know you teamed up on this?
Do you really not know?
We're in simpatico.
I don't know.
It was in the email.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to go back and look now because I want to be surprised or disgusted.
We were talking about it before we went on air.
I was getting the board ready. I was doing work.
Jason doing the innocent act.
Yeah. You
know? I'm not doing the innocent
act. So he's not implicated.
You know what it is.
He's not implicated.
Tom, I have no idea.
Whatever happens.
If you're listening,
from
Tom.
From this point on.
I have no idea what is going to happen in 15 minutes. 201-332-3484. You better get in before the 11 o'clock hour hits. Or you just want to get on hold for the 11 o'clock hour. If you have an album to plug, please call us back.
I just posted the worst Halloween candy for me was Mary Jane's.
What's Mary Jane's?
Those little, it was peanut butter flavored. And it was like solid as a brick.
Oh, they were really hard.
Yeah, yeah. You couldn't even bite into the thing.
Even if you bit into them, like it would stick on your
teeth.
Yeah, I remember that. Those were not good.
Are they even still out there?
I think they're still out there.
They're still out there.
I think you can probably get them in a Cracker Barrel.
I think the general name for that is hardtack, right?
Is it hardtack? That's not what they were eating in the Civil War. Hardtack and fatback?
I don't know.
Wait, were you getting Civil War food for your trick-or-treat bag?
Maybe I'm mixing it up.
Okay, here's a little heart attack for you.
Somebody set me straight, please.
Best show you're on the air.
Hey, this is the not e-cigs for legs guy from Philly.
This is the e-cig for
Mr.
legs.
Mr. Shall.
Guy, completely.
It's Perry from Philadelphia.
This is the purveyor of Goosey Night.
I don't know why.
It's a good theory.
I was trying really hard to figure that one out. I was like, eggs? I don't know. Yeah.
Perry.
We called it Mischief Night.
You called it Mischief Night in Philly?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you participate?
So I was thinking about that. I was like, there's no way my friend. So I wasn't like a bad kid, but I hung out with a lot of really bad kids.
Okay.
And, so, like, the worst thing that I could remember doing was watching other people do bad stuff and me just being, like, along for the ride. But one time I was like, no, I'm going to participate. And our one friend was at our other friend's house a couple blocks from my house. Mm-hmm. And they were like, let's put toilet paper on so-and-so's car. And I was like, that's pretty dumb, but she'll think it's funny. It'll be, like, a fun... lighthearted mischief night prank. So we went there and we put toilet paper on our one friend's car, and the friend whose house she was at freaked out and was like, you're not allowed back on my block anymore, you can't do this stuff on my block and all this stuff. And it was so stupid. It was like, well, she didn't care, it was her car, and it was like, they just put toilet paper on the car.
She doesn't control the block.
Yeah, so also it was also my neighborhood. It was like, I have to walk by your street all the time.
Yeah,
but
you're gonna have to move now.
Yeah, so but the worst part or the best part for me is that she never talked to me again. Like, she hated me after that.
How old were you?
And that
22.
Was probably like 12th grade or something. So yeah, like 2 years ago.
No, yeah, probably 12th grade or something. So,
that's, yeah, 18, that's a little old 17. For Mischief Night.
You know what? you'd be surprised what's a little too old in my book is a little different than yours, Mike.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, no, Philly's got a tradition, probably, you know.
We're a little behind. I don't know if you know that.
So
I dress up every year at this point and just sit in the house, so I just do it for myself. Like, at least I tried.
You know, a better prank would be that no one, I think, has thought of in the history of Mischief Night would be to somehow enter the person's home and remove all of the toilet paper, even the backup rolls they have in the closet or basement. And just
one post-it note that says, good luck.
Not even, just make it super anonymous and, like, lock the door the way it was. And then when they get home, they eventually realize they're completely out of toilet paper.
And then they get back in the car, frustrated. They drive down to Rite Aid. But then they find out that you took all the toilet paper from Rite Aid as well.
That would be great.
And
then
they get in, super frustrated. They go down to Walgreens, and they get toilet paper, and then their night's over.
I want to know about the person who goes outside and rolls the toilet paper back up off the trees.
You know it's happened.
And uses it.
Yeah, I bet it's happened.
That's not happened?
It would be genius.
In the history
wiping with the tree paper?
I mean, in the history of Mischief Night and people toilet papering homes, some guy, and it definitely was a guy, too.
Yeah.
Some guy... some man rolled something up and used it.
Lots of women are into like repurposing things.
Not tree paper.
Well,
right?
It's you know if it's w- usable.
Women have better standards than that.
If it's yes. still dry.
I think only
dry.
a man would be that desperate.
I remember
a stubborn guy who's like, oh, you want to throw toilet paper at my house? I'm going to take it and use it. Free toilet paper.
I remember my neighbor would always because it would happen to him every year. God bless him. This guy, not to sidebar, but this guy was a pretty hardcore alcoholic, and he had a license plate that said "Mix One for Me."
Oh,
and
wow.
He had a lot of DUIs, and he couldn't figure out why he kept getting pulled over. But he would spray the toilet paper out of his trees with a hose.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, just cussing the whole time. He would just spray it down.
I would love to watch that in slow motion.
Oh, actually,
with like Van Halen Panama playing. Yeah. In the back.
I could see one of my customers, not one of my customers, what am I talking about? One of my neighbors.
Uh-huh.
He bought a leaf blower. And this guy, you know, he bought that leaf blower. He had to use the damn thing every weekend. You know, I could see him using the leaf blower to get the toilet paper down from the trees. You know, that would be another excuse. You know, at 9 in the morning, Saturday morning, you know, when you get a chance to sleep late on a Saturday morning, this guy get that leaf blower going. And I could see him trying to get the toilet paper down with that.
Hey, Perry, we got to let you go. Tom's calling.
Oh, sure, sure. All
thank
right,
you. Best show.
Oh, hi. What's up, clown?
Well, just in the nick of time.
You called. We are the 9 minutes from AP Mike After Hours.
Hold on. Now, what is that?
So far, we've thrown out AP. Mike just keeps sending so many topics down the line. He said that he's holding the big one for 11 p.m.
The 11 p.m. hour.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, Mike.
And an emphasis
can I
on
guess?
The...
Yeah. Can I guess, Mike?
Yeah, I gave you a preview earlier.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Can I say?
Yeah,
can
go
I
ahead. Guess? Yeah, why not? Kick it off.
Does it have the word medical in the...
yeah, yeah.
In the description?
Yeah.
Well, best of luck with this final hour.
Yeah, okay.
This is a moment of triumph here.
I figured you'd enjoy that. Mm-hmm. Tuning in just in time.
Oh yeah, that's great. Just medical, Mike, and
we don't touch that topic too often, and it's a whole other world that
it's a whole other podcast
we can tap into. Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, the human body. I mean, you know, the endless possibilities of people talking about all the things that go wrong with the human body.
Yeah. I've never been happier to be in Toronto. I can't be far enough away. No, it sounds like a winner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So what else is going on?
Well, not too much. We're just caught up with Perry Shao, and we heard from Taylor in Los Angeles and Lori in Miami. We had some
Avalanche
calls.
Bob called.
Of course.
It was a shock.
Wow. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
We talked. Maybe Tom has a good one for one of my topics I threw out, and I've been throwing them out left and right.
Yeah, we're up to like 78 right now.
Not to pat myself
93.
Not to pat myself on the back. Yeah. But what was the worst thing you ever received trick or treating, Tom? I mentioned donuts. Dudio mentioned apples with razor blades.
Probably. Wait, you got an apple with a razor blade?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it either.
I didn't get it, but friends got them. Uh-huh. It was in 1986. They had to X-ray all our candy.
Now this is your improv teacher Adam.
Hey,
this already.
Yeah, hey, when you're on the air tonight, do that apple razor bit.
You might want to ask your the guy you claim taught you improv.
Yeah, my Sketch 101 teacher, Adam Conover.
Who denies it outright. any affiliation with you. I would say probably some sort of Necco wafer would be low. That would be the low point.
Yeah, that didn't come up.
I don't ever remember getting any old people candy, like a hard candy or worse. Like, nobody's giving that out. They know better.
Mary Jane was my all-time worst candy.
What is that? Like a
that little like peanut butter thing? Yeah.
Yeah. Like a
could barely
gummy,
bite into it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's they always seem to be stale. Like, I don't think those were ever.
No, they're fresh. Yeah, right. It's yeah.
Like when they made them, they were stale.
Yeah,
like
you had to eat it off the assembly line, or it was stale. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. As soon as they box them up, those things already went and go hard and crack and just like, and they always had those rough edges to them.
And they were air pockets, right? They were air pockets in them
sometimes. Yeah, like exactly, like weird little air pockets. The hardest candy that like can guarantee like carve your gums up, the roof of your mouth, all for what? Teeny tiny piece of candy.
Yeah,
only seems to be involved in Halloween sized. Nobody's eating that thing the rest of the year.
And you can use you couldn't eat the whole thing, so you'd bite it in half, and then you had the other half, and you can use that to cut up aluminum cans.
Sure, there you go. Exactly.
With a jagged edge.
Yeah. It's a slap chop after that. You can use it to 100 home uses. So what about Mischief Night? Any stories?
Well, we found out that they called it that in Philadelphia. We have the confirmation on that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't by any weird name. It was Mischief Night, traditional.
Not Goosey Night.
No, and we also found out about Cabbage Night. That was another one.
We also found out about Beggar's Night in Iowa.
Yep.
Where kids would go around and tell a joke in exchange for candy.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. Beggar's Night?
Yeah.
And they get a jump on Halloween. Their Halloween is the night before. So Iowa's like always trying to beat the rest of the country. Doesn't seem
right. It's like an open mic night at the Comedy Cellar. tell a joke, you get a candy bar. More than the UCB's paying people.
Yeah, I was going to say I would do it for that. Right. I would do that.
Yeah,
I'd be at that open mic.
Yeah. Kids on Beggar's Night are doing better than people been at UCB Theater for 15 years.
Yep.
At least they're getting thrown a candy bar. Sorry to be running so hot out here, Jason.
I know.
I know these are controversial takes that...
These are real hot takes,
Tom.
Yeah, real hot takes. They can ban me from the UCB Theater. I'll never be allowed back in.
I'm in a real uncomfortable position here, Tom.
Yeah, look. Pick your side, buddy. Pick your side. Pick your side. Which one increases your bank account and which one decreases your bank account?
So I'm best show for life.
Yeah, there you go.
There it is.
And look, I love the UCB Theater. I was there when it began. I'm not putting it down to say it's not perfect. What? Nothing's perfect. That show's not perfect. Because in 9 minutes, you're going to realize why. You're going to get a prime example of what's wrong with the best show when AP Mike starts doing his catalog of medical curiosities.
Should I even run the bed for that? I should just have it silenced, correct?
No, for Mike's thing, you should get some sort of music that's like, like some horror.
Should have brought in some of my old Depravity's Rainbow music.
Now, you need some. Oh, guess what movies I watched this week, Mike?
Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte?
No.
Eyes Without a Face?
No, two movies by a director that started our relationship.
Oh, okay. Herzog?
Kevin Smith?
Guess which ones?
The scary one, maybe. Nosferatu?
Did not watch that. I will watch that.
Okay. Which one? Was Bruno S. in it?
No, he was not.
That's a good one, though. Mystery of Casper Hauser.
I was going to watch that one, but then I went with one I had seen before and one I had not seen. I'll give you a hint.
Klaus Kinski
one of them,
in it?
What's that?
Klaus Kinski in it?
Yes. That's barely a hint.
The Wrath of Aguirre?
I'll say this. Yeah, I watched that.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Aguirre, The Wrath of God.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah.
Enjoy it?
And the other one, I'll give you what's that?
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, yeah. No, it's amazing. Yeah. I had never seen it.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And somebody today was asking me, what's the tone of the movie? I'm like, yeah, it's pretty rough. And they're like, why? I was like, well, in the first minute, you find out they're looking for a city that doesn't exist. So that kind of sets you off on a path. You can kind of see where this is going to go.
Yeah, on a raft with a bunch of monkeys crawling across it.
Yeah. Second movie, I'll give you one hint. They're bringing a boat across the...
Oh, yeah. It's Geraldo. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
Great film.
Yeah.
Haven't seen that in a while. I should look at that again.
And as you pointed out on Instagram already, it's the...
Burden of Dreams is better than...
The documentary about the film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But Fitzcarraldo is amazing in itself, but it's even more amazing that a documentary tells literally the same story as the movie.
And it's maybe crazy. It's maybe crazier.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Some have said, Mike, that you're my Klaus Kinski to my Werner Herzog.
Well, I'll take that over. I'll take that over. I'm your Bruno S. to your Klaus Kinski. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I'm as full of rage, though.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's all buried rage. I mean, I probably have a fair amount of that.
Yeah. So why don't we get you to dye your hair blonde? Right?
Yeah.
Get you walking around in a suit of armor, some chainmail. Get you walking around Bayonne in some chainmail, like.
Yeah, right? That'll go over well.
Yeah, Aguirre, a Wrath of Mike. What do you think?
I don't know. It sounds pretty good.
No,
I was describing
Bayonne Man.
You know, I've been thinking.
We'll just start remaking all these Herzog movies.
We're a sequel.
Bayonne Man, Grizzly Man can be Bayonne Man.
Port-au-Call Bayonne was a great idea. I was describing Naked 2 to somebody, and they loved the idea. I think we should go with that one. Naked 2, man, that was...
Naked 2, the box shows up.
Yeah.
The trench coat. Uncle.
Yeah.
And then you're just walking around Bayonne talking about life and maybe you're not a rapist like the character.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks. Thanks.
We'll,
for
we'll leave that
yeah,
out.
Okay. Thank
I'm
you.
Leaving that out. I'm Thanks. Striking that from the mix.
Yeah.
Mike.
I appreciate
but
that.
You'll be,
yeah.
you'll just be a, you'll just be a, you know, low status
low
as
status.
I am.
Yeah, yeah.
All low status Jersey trash. Me, you, Pat, Dudio, not so much. He comes from, everybody knows, Virginia, not West Virginia. I've been told, corrected 100 times already, and I'm going to be a real problem if I say he's from West Virginia again.
I appreciate
it. But, yeah. Play a little bit of that chicken thing for me, please, can you? Can I hear a little bit?
I don't even know. Hold on a second. I have to look. Give me a second.
Yeah, this guy has to look for it. He sent it to me on the fly during the show. 2 versions of a chicken commercial he recorded 18 years ago.
The chicken check, right?
Yeah. Give me one second, guys.
Know it, you love it.
I got this.
Give me one. Give me, play it all the way through this time. I need a shot in the arm, guys. I'm out here. I found out it's going to rain tonight. That is the latest development. So it's not just going to be cold out here. It's going to be cold and wet.
Okay, so I'm going to see if I can send this down the line to you. Let me know when you can hear the bed.
You better. I got it.
Okay, so I'm killing the bed.
I can hear the bed.
So here you go.
I can hear the bed.
See if you can hear this.
Explain this for people, though. Give them a little context.
So this is the second Chicken Shack spot. I had recorded the first Chicken Shack spot, like 7 days prior, and the client was like, oh, yeah, that's great. That's good. Let's do a whole new one. Mm-hmm. So this was the, you know, this is when the client really struck when it was hot and wanted everyone to get even more excited about the Chicken Shack. So that is this spot. Here we go.
The clucking chicken. You know it, you love it. You find yourself waiting for it, don't you? Because you know that when you hear this, I'm getting ready to tell you more about the Chicken Shack. Wings, wings, wings. Famous boneless, traditional, or breaded wings in flavors such as mild, medium, hot, honey barbecue, spicy barbecue, jerk, garlic, honey mustard, or Santa Fe.
Yeah, dude, could you wipe your mouth, man? You're really drooling. Okay. That's good.
The Chicken Shack is located at 314 Tower.
Yeah.
We never made it that far.
Yeah, we didn't get the jerk before.
Hold on. Yeah. No, jerk. I could have stopped back at jerk, but the breaking form.
I didn't write before. It.
Where'd you get that music?
Oh, I'm not saying you wrote it. I'm just saying it exists, though.
It exists, yeah.
Get a napkin. You're drooling. I love it. I love it because that's you know what that means? It means you're a professional.
Yeah.
Jason. That's what that means.
Yeah. I
means
thank
you're
you.
Working.
Yeah.
It means you're doing a job. You're working. And I respect that.
I wanted to give the Chicken Shack spot, the second Chicken Shack spot, my all.
Yeah. Yeah, you sold it. You didn't phone this thing in. You had no half steps with this.
Yeah.
No, I respect it.
Thank you.
Yeah, see? I know. Always keep them guessing. Always keep them guessing.
Do you,
everybody would have, they would have had to place their bets on that one. They would have been like, this is when Tom lays a hammer down on Dudio.
Yeah.
On this one. No. Respect it.
Thank you. Thank you.
And on that note, I have to go watch some more filming. I'll call back later.
Okay.
Hey, Tom, if you get a chance, I just want to send you off with something that, you know, might give you a laugh later on. There's a video out. Just look up drunk Jets fan slides down rail. I think you might enjoy that. If you get a little downtime later. I think he's gone.
Yeah, I think that's the thing he hung up on. I think that was it.
He can always gomp us, which is great.
So I'm going to take this call, Mike, and then after this call, we're into AP Mike After Hours.
Okay, sure, yeah.
So, best show, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? You guys talking about Goosey Night?
Wait, we'd love to talk about Goosey Night.
Wait, is this Tom?
It is.
Oh, my God. Thank you for calling. So this is the... I'll call him Tommy for better namesake. This is the Tom from my life before I knew Mr. Tom Sharpling, the host of this show, who is not here tonight, Tommy. But
yeah, I'm the good one.
Well, let's not. Careful. You don't want a Goosey Night mob coming after you. But like when I grew up with this guy, he was from a neighboring town. And this is what I mean. It was so regional of a night of mischief that it went by different names by different areas. And he is from the Passaic Valley area. He went to Passaic Valley High School. I went to Verona High School. And Tommy, take it away from here.
Yeah, so I grew up in New York State originally until like the second grade. And we called it Gate Night there. And then I moved to Jersey. And everyone was like, oh, man, you going out for Goosey Night tonight? I always thought it sounded so horribly lame. Like, Gate Night sounded scary. I didn't know what it meant.
Yeah.
But, like, in Passaic County, it was definitely Goosey Night. And I don't know why. I think it sounds stupid, but that's what we call it.
This is real. This is totally real. And I couldn't believe it either. And I'm so glad you called because we had somebody from what state was it, Jason?
Iowa.
Iowa. Someone from Iowa called in and said it was Beggar's Night out there. And then our friend Perry in Philly called, confirming that they called it Mischief Night in Philly. So I was like, people were starting to think I made this Goosey Night thing up. And then I saw online this morning somebody called it Cabbage Night.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Mischief Night is definitely the winner, but like... I don't know why. In North Jersey, it's Goosey Night.
And then New York State is Gate.
Gate Night, yeah.
I think that's shortened from Devil's Gate Night.
So, it could be.
So is it the gate holding the devil?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, if you do enough bad things, the gate will open and the devil will be released for Halloween?
I mean...
It sounds good to me. I mean, that's what I'm going with for now on.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you shed light on this. Yeah, there was never an explanation either, right? And like any Passaic Valley people that you knew?
No. I think my stepfather told me, he's like, "You going out for Goosey Night?" And I was like,
"That's exactly what he said."
Was his voice that high?
Yes. His voice was that high.
I see you guys at Goosey Night. It's going to be good.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I can't believe you're going out for a Goosey. You're going to get goosed yourselves.
But, yeah, I can confirm Goosey Night is North Jersey style.
All right.
Ridiculous.
Well, thank you for that confirmation.
And I should mention, Tommy, he runs the World of Wonders traveling sideshow.
Oh, nice.
You can catch it state fairs across the country. Where are you guys right now?
We're in Mobile, Alabama until Sunday. It's the last fair of the season.
Well, you guys enjoy that. It'll be a good time.
See,
have
it's
a good
easy.
Goosey Night. Watch out.
So wait, you're home soon then, maybe.
In December.
All right. Well, I'll
see you then.
I'll talk to you off air, man. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thanks, yeah, guys.
Take this off air. Jesus, come on.
He's at Sword Swallow online.
So is he a sword swallower?
Yeah. No.
And we didn't talk about that.
That's why I was getting to it. You got them. You got them.
Hey, what? Stop swallowing those swords,
unbelievable!
Tommy!
Unbelievable! His stepdad,
Tommy,
was always a point of discussion.
Oh.
He was like the high talker in Seinfeld.
I've never known a sword swallower, Pat, so you've got one up on me. That's pretty amazing.
He did, you might have been on Prove It All Night with him a couple times, either as a caller or in studio, I can't remember. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Did he work in Coney Island?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think I've probably seen him. I mean,
he trained there. He, like, learned all the crafts there. And now he runs the last 10-in-1 sideshow that's traveling at state fairs.
Oh, okay.
Like,
nice.
Handed down from, like, the Ward family that started that thing. It's crazy.
Huh.
Yeah.
Best show, you're on the air. Do you swallow swords?
Oh, hi. This is Jeremy from Salt Lake again. I accidentally called you back.
Well, actually,
I was going to say, I saw the 801, I'm like, another Salt Lake City?
Actually, you might have one for one of the, I don't know, 30 topics.
Yeah, we literally have so many more topics that you can choose from now, Jeremy.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, I swallowed marble.
Why?
Just thought it would be just interesting.
How old were you when you swallowed this marble?
Well, there's a downside to this. My brother actually did this.
He did it too?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And did you have the downside to swallowing a marble?
What's the downside?
It went down A-okay, yeah.
Well, you gotta check to make sure it passed.
I didn't.
So he was...
You didn't check. No, there are. Well, you should have.
So keep checking, Jeremy. Yeah. Thank you. okay, I'm going to cut that off for right now. Let me see, guys. Does this bed work? Let me know.
Ooh, that's Halloween-y. It's great.
Is that a good bed?
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute.
Because it's probably one of the best beds out there now.
Oh, wait a minute. I know what this is.
Okay, I won't play that. I'm going to kill. I'm going to kill. That was the bed that Josh Cantor did for Taking the Leap.
Oh.
So, there you go. So, we have no bed. I'm going to look around. I'm going to find something.
How about Halloween Spooky Sounds?
Leave the regular bed.
Leave the regular bed?
Yeah. That's fine.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Mike?
In case people miss it, you know? I don't want people to get upset.
Mike, it's 11:15. You know what that means. Uh-huh. It's time for AP Mike After Hours. It's not really After Hours, but you have a topic, and I do remember what this topic is when you guys said medical.
We were tossing around topics earlier today in email.
Yeah, and you took all of them and were just like, let's just do them all.
And I had an incident yesterday. I had an interview. And towards the end of the interview, they brought me over to a young man, and he had rubber gloves on, and I was like, oh, okay. I had a similar job where I had to be drug tested, and they used, like, a tongue swab, you know? And that's what I thought was going to happen. I'm not used to being drug tested, but this is where I'm at in 2018 for job opportunities.
Okay.
And... So there was some paperwork to fill out. I had to show him my license. And then we proceeded into another room, which I thought was just going to be for a little more privacy because I'm standing there. And then we turned the corner and we're in the men's room. Okay. And I was like, oh, all right. Now I know what this is.
Right.
So it was a urine test. And... You know, when it's sprung on you like that, it's kind of like you freeze up. You know, I wasn't, hadn't drank a lot of water, so I was not really thinking I would be going to be able to produce on the spot like that. But, you know, I took the cup. He gave me a little private time. I stood there, and sure enough, I was able to produce. But the weird part was... The technician came back midstream and was sort of standing behind me for, you know, maybe 5 feet, not right behind me. That would have been really creepy. But he stood, you know, 4 or 5 feet behind me. And I'm like, what? I'm the only person in there. And I'm like, is he checking to make sure that I didn't bring in some clean urine? And I guess that happens, you know. That's
part of my story.
Okay. I mean, I've heard stories
part of my story as well.
I've heard stories from people who are regularly tested, and there is this whole sort of, let's just call it an underground market for clean urine that I'm aware of. But I wasn't one of those people. I felt confident that I would pass with flying colors.
Okay.
And then so, you know, I was just happy that I was able to, you know, bring it up. And so I hand him the cup, and he makes this, like, remark, like, that's more than enough. Like I was supposed to redirect once I figured out I could produce the...
He was like, you put too much in here.
Almost, yeah. I mean, well, that's how I interpreted the line, right? Like,
he's
now,
like,
now
yeesh, what am I going to do
now,
with all
now
this?
Now he's got to dump it. Right. Like, big deal.
Right.
You know? But he's asking for my urine.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to, like...
You can't control what the levels
measure
are going to
be. Yeah. And sort of redirect and, like, you know, throw it off and maybe, you know.
See, but in my case, when I do that, I'm able to be like, okay, only dispense 4 ounces.
Well, you're a pro. I mean, I'm still amateur hour.
I measure it really well.
I think this is the second, I can honestly say this is the second in my life that I've had to, do.
I love that he was just so dismayed, like, oh, God, look at all this baby.
Yeah, like, well, he didn't say it real, this is more,
you knew that's what
actually,
he was feeling, though.
No, well, you can interpret it that way, but he was more upbeat, you know, almost like, wow.
Whoa.
Like, this
great
is more this was more. So, but it was, if I was in his position, I wouldn't have said anything. I would have said thank you. You know, that, I left it at thank you. You know, don't leave a weird line in there to, like, you know, either offend or, like, be weirdly congratulatory that I had, you know, really come through.
Even a good job would be nice.
Good
job.
Yeah,
like a pat on the back.
Like a dog.
Oh, yeah. I just thought of another story, too. I'm going to tell this one first because this is a perfect setup for that one. Like, I went recently because I got a physical. I got, like, a yearly physical, and they told me to come back to do the urine because they're like, you have to fast, and you didn't fast. You're supposed to, like, fast for 12 to 24, not 24, but 12 hours. In advance, so they're like, you can't eat the night before past 8 p.m. and you know, don't drink anything besides water.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like,
all
right.
That.
No, I hate it too because I'm a guy who can't really function on like if I wake up in the morning, I try to leave the house, I haven't eaten or like drank anything. Like you see me here after I take a long nap. Like it's not good.
You're worthless.
It's not good. So tonight was we'll get into that later. But I went the next morning. And I did what they said, and I fasted for 12 hours.
What time was the appointment the next morning? Because it's always hard
to
fast, and it's like you have a 3 p.m. appointment.
Well, no, this one was I scheduled it extra early so I could go before work and just get it over with and then eat.
Can I just say, I don't think any of these topics have ever really been done on The Best Show.
Right. You're right.
Yeah.
Out of all of them.
This is depravity's rainbow material.
It really
is. Some of the area we would carve out.
Yeah, I mean.
Where are you, Therese? 201-332-3484.
People have been asking for the return of depravity's rainbow, and I think they got it.
Well, you know, the first time I was asked to do that, I was like, well, how am I going to do that? There's a lot of pressure, right?
Right.
So my immediate
thing
was.
Not me, man. I can right on cue. I just wink and go.
Yeah, you have a little more confidence.
Yeah.
Than
like, watch but anyway, this.
But anyway, my thinking that first show was just like, go the total opposite direction of The Best Show. I'm not going to be able to do what Tom does. Let me try and go into a whole other area. And it, I mean, if you listen to that first, I mean, did you ever hear that show? That first one. That first show was really. Maybe the most bizarre thing.
I was
sweating by the end of it.
Right.
Because, I mean.
Creeped you out.
Yeah, we were getting stories that were like Raymond Carver type stories.
Right.
With, like, weird, I don't know if people were making it up, but there was one particular story that was scary.
I'm never going to finish mine.
People can look it up if they're interested.
With that attitude,
but
no.
But anyway. But, yeah, so, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I can't do what Tom does, so let me try.
You want the peace stories. The peace story area, that's like right where you are.
The way I framed this topic was strange or embarrassing medical moments.
Strange or topic 93.
Yeah.
94.
So if you've got any strange or embarrassing medical moments, I mean, the body, as I said earlier,
May I finish mine? I really want to finish my story.
I almost feel like Mike's just going on to keep you from the story.
So I didn't eat.
Remember what I said about the body earlier? Okay, so you didn't eat. This is a morning appointment.
I scheduled the appointment as special.
Okay.
And I went in the next morning after fasting, and I brought a bar to eat after it. So because I didn't even want to.
Bar?
Kind bar. I didn't want to drive. Like I think I walked there because I just I'm not good when I function on that on not eating when I leave the house. Like so they were like nothing. You can have nothing. First appointment I screwed up because I went for the regular physical. They did tell me that, and I ate a banana, and I thought a banana was fine because it was like, it's like not, it's like barely food, it's like drinking water, and they were like, no, can't have a banana. So I had to schedule this new appointment. This one I did not screw up. I showed up at, I go into the room to take the Wii, I go in there, I get the cup, I put the cup down, I lift the rim of the toilet seat.
Mm-hmm.
I zip and
going into great detail here.
Pee directly into the toilet bowl, flush it, wash my hands, dry my hands, throw the paper towel into the trash can, and then I look at the cup and I'm like, you know, and I literally screamed the F word as right. loud as I could, and then I walked out, and I was so embarrassed. I was with it enough to tell the lady like about my flaw and how embarrassed I was. So I went up to the nurse, uh-huh. and I was like, I am so sorry. I'm completely out of it. Out of it and out of it. I was like, I just peed into the toilet. And I know, and I'm so sorry, but now I'm going to have to wait. I'm going to have to, like, drink water and wait. And she was just like, and she stopped listening to me and thought I was a complete idiot and cut me off. And she said this. I'll never forget it. She goes, oh, no, 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 honey. I don't want you to use this cup to scoop the pee out of the bowl. I want you to, and I was like, and then I cut her off. I'm like, I know. I know you. I'm like,
I know what the cup is for.
But at that point, I seemed like such an idiot to her. Yeah, she was breaking it down like slow.
She was doing the scooping motion.
5 year old talk.
To you.
Yeah. Right. Condescending 5 year old talk.
Scoop it, Pat.
We want you to, we don't want you to eat our Bible. We want you to read our Bible. So I was like, oh man. And then, I have another one, but I'm going to let you go.
Well, I'm going to go for this caller.
Please.
Best show, Mike. You want to give them the top? Well, first off, who is this?
Hi, it's Dan from Reno.
Dan from Reno. All right, Mike. You want to
the property is Rainbow?
Man, you're pretty much in it.
After
right
hours.
Now.
After hours.
This is AP Mike After Hours. I shouldn't have even said best show.
Well, I've never
legally we're not allowed to.
I've never told this story, and I hadn't even thought about it for years until Mike was talking about it.
I killed the bed. The bed is no longer part of this.
I tap into something. I don't know what it is.
The bed's
gone. Ahead.
So when I was younger, I was a little rebellious and angry, as most are, and I got caught by my mom with a little
whistle.
That's what Tom does. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it was weed. I got caught with weed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So my mom tried to do like a scared straight thing, and she took me to the sheriff's office. I grew up in like this tiny, tiny rural western town, and she took me to the sheriff's office to get urine tested. And so this was being administered by, a police officer in my yard. I think she just wanted to show me sort of, where this might end up. So I had to go into a, the restroom up there, and the deputy followed me in, and he said, well, at first he was standing behind me, fairly close, like 5 feet, like Mike was saying, and I was having trouble making it happen, and it finally started to happen, and then he snuck up on me from behind me, and he said, hey, I need to see it come out of the spigot. And it freaked me out bad that I turned.
Yeah.
Midstream, uh-huh. And I got him, and he
good, he deserved
slammed
it.
Me up against. Yeah, he slammed me up against the wall, though that wasn't very cool. And he came out and he told my mom that I intentionally did that to him, and it was just a bad scene.
And you never smoked weed again.
Oh, I'm high right now.
Okay, well there you go, Reno.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Wait, Mike's got a follow up.
He actually said spigot.
That was the word. I got to come out of the spigot because I had heard stories of people running tubing down their leg.
Well, that's my story. I have one of those.
How old were you?
15, I think. Yeah.
And this wasn't a real drug test. This was a scared straight thing. And this sheriff was well,
they did administer the test. I mean,
they did, but it was more of a scare tactic, right?
Well, no, they sent it off to the lab, and it came back and dirty and the whole nine yards, yeah.
Yeah, just to scare you. And then the sheriff's, like, looking at you and wanting to see it come out of the spigot?
Well, I think that's how it works if you actually go to jail. So, I mean, but I mean, I didn't get in trouble. I didn't get arrested or anything, but it was, you know, my mom went in there full on, you know, here's the whole story, and said, right. This is what I want you to do to my son.
And when you say spigot, sorry, go ahead.
Maybe you get the word spigot trending
on
Twitter.
Oh, my God, yeah, trend it, spigot. Thanks for the call, Reno. Wow.
Spigot talk.
Whew.
I never did
a drug test, thankfully, because I think they're weird. You know, it's invasive, and it's 2018, and it's illegal in so many other states and everything these days. Who cares? But I did have a friend named Cheese, and
that guy smoked pot.
Friend's name is Cheese, uh-huh. He is a pot smoker, yeah. And he was really worried about his drug test coming up. So he built a contraption that is very much like the tubing down the leg, but he kept filling this one bottle up with just all kinds of pee.
Uh-huh.
Like different people, like at parties, like going. I mean, he wasn't even factoring in that they're probably high.
At least they were all male, because
I don't think that was the case. I think Cheese did not discriminate. Like anyone that could give him.
No, but I've heard stories, guys using ladies,
mm-hmm.
and it's different. You know, they're going to find different things in it.
I don't think Cheese cared about the quality of pee that was going in there. So he built this contraption. And he went into the place, kind of like a lab course-like situation, to do the drug test. And while he was in there, so he ran the tube, like, up his jacket arm. But the bottle was so big and so full that it just, when he turned it on, and, like, he did, like, the arm squeeze,
it sprayed everywhere. Yeah.
Just completely covered the place, and I had a friend that went with Cheese there.
He didn't practice.
Yeah. He didn't practice. It was a one shot deal. Yeah. I had a friend that went with Cheese and he said that he heard Cheese the moment he went in there, just screaming because he couldn't turn off everything coming out of his spigot.
Yeah.
So
he had a gusher.
He had a real gusher.
Yeah.
Well, my friend named Cheese had a one-shot deal.
It was a gusher.
He should have rehearsed.
You got to rehearse.
That's
practice.
Really the moral of this story is please rehearse your fake urine scenarios.
It's the same way you get to Carnegie Hall, folks. But,
yeah. 201-332-3484.
I have a similar... This is a story I did not think I'd be telling on the best show tonight.
It's not the best show.
You're right. But
this is AP Mike After Hours.
You. But I told this to two coworkers today out of the top of my memory. For whatever reason, I was driving from a location with a coworker, and I was on the subject of drug tests for some reason. And I had remembered this crazy story from high school about how a kid in my art class, and you know, we had our fair share of burnouts, and I was not. And my friend Jim was not either. My friend Jim was like a former burnout that we had converted to not be anymore. And he was kind of like on the straighter narrow, but still friendly with the burnouts. Mm-hmm. But he was so friendly with them that one of them, in my school, it was so strict where if you looked tired, you got a drug test. You got sent to the nurse's office and they put the paperwork together.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. I'm not even kidding. In
at a public school?
In my public high school in Essex County, yeah.
That's crazy.
So they would drug test you, and these burnout kids got it all the time. And so they started to get creative. And this one kid, it was like the MacGyver of them all.
The MacGyver of pee tests.
Yes. I'm not kidding. Hear me out. This is the length he went to. He went to Jim. He said, "Hey, Jim, can I have your pee? Because I need to pass a drug test." And so Jim was like, "Yeah, sure." He gave Jim an Elmer's glue bottle, and before that, in the art class, he emptied it out and cleaned it, and then in the small Elmer's glue tube, like the small glue, the school glue size,
with like the orange cap,
yeah,
the twister,
still see it, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He made a mixture of of paint. He got the color hue of his skin,
nice.
Like to the T, uh-huh. and painted this Elmer's glue, like in a 45-minute art class.
Right.
And the art teacher was like, "What are you doing, Mike?" And he was like, without dropping a hat,
uh-huh.
he was like missing a beat. He was just like, "Oh, you know, this is that project I was telling you about. I think I'm gonna, you know, I'm not really sure on colors. I'm gonna do like a color test here." And she was like, "That's great, good for you." And she walked away,
nice.
Like she ate it up.
Right.
And then he went back to painting his flesh colored Elmer's glue container
yeah.
that he later filled with Jim's pee.
Right.
And then somehow adhesed to his
so
thigh.
Many Springsteen song titles here
to his thigh. He got it on his thigh without like. You know, tape or like an elastic band. It was just nuts. And then that's what he did. He you know, opened his pants and
right.
peed in a cup using this method. And it was like, I tell people to this day and they're like, that's God. The most genius thing it's like a high school kid like figuring that out. It's pretty crazy.
We are breaking new ground, guys.
But I have a technical question.
Yeah.
Now, if we're talking about the same Elmer glue bottles that I remember,
yeah.
you couldn't take off the top. Could you take the top off? Because, I mean, it only had a very small hole.
That is very yes. true. How did this get full?
How did it get full?
Oh, you can take that thing off.
If
it's empty and you really – it's easy to put on that cap. But if you have an empty Elmer's glue bottle and you – twist and yank it, it comes off.
Oh, okay.
And it's a very small, it's also a small hole to fill.
Yes.
But you right. can stick a thin enough funnel in there. So
well,
couldn't
you
I'm
technically
sure.
like put it in another container and then just kind of do the suck it up motion where you like
probably, but I think
put the empty bottle of Elmer's in and then
I think that this kid Mike went as far as to like go to the chemistry lab and get a metal funnel and then pour Jim's pee from one vessel
yeah.
into the Elmer's glue and just lawless, man.
Yeah.
Hey, caller, you're on AP Mike After Hours. Who's this?
Hey, this is Dave in Abington.
Abington, Virginia?
Pennsylvania.
Sorry. What's going on, Dave? Do you have one for
What'd you think of that story?
I only got the back half of it, but some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
That's what we do on AP Mike After Hours. It's nothing but the craziest stuff.
Oh, is it anything goes? Can I cuss?
No, it's still technically best show.
Yeah.
But
best show rules still apply.
Yeah, it's still hard G.
Topics are just a little further out.
Yeah.
The new freedom.
The new freedom, Jesus. So, do you have one for the topic?
Are you guys still talking Mischief Night, or
we can yeah, we can
go,
do that?
Go for it.
What you got for us?
Well, I managed to go like my entire life growing up, never taking part in Mischief Night, never getting like egged or toilet papered or anything. And I was out jogging tonight, what I thought was like an early enough hour, and actually, in one of the more embarrassing Milhousian experiences in my life, got egged and like beaten about the head and face by a group of like 13-year-olds.
Oh, wait a second. They beat you too?
Well, they like hit me like twice. The kid like clotheslined me as I was running by.
Wait,
I kid you not.
This happened tonight?
Yeah.
Get out.
This happened
here.
Tonight. Wow. I'm not even
Wait, this happened tonight?
Come on.
I tweeted about it and I deleted the picture. Cause I was
You're kidding. You're kidding.
Are you okay?
I'll tweet the picture again. Yeah, no, I'm all right.
Where did this happen?
Abingdon.
Where's that?
Pennsylvania.
Okay. Wow.
And you got egged.
I actually did get egged, like all over my back.
You would think that would be enough. Why the beating? Well, you know.
I thought they were rocks when they started throwing them, and thankfully, as they hit me, I realized, well, okay, I'm going to leave relatively unscathed.
Mm-hmm. Where were you? What were you doing?
I was jogging.
You were jogging.
It was a night like any other.
Were you in a park?
I was jogging around a cemetery that I usually jog around.
Well, oh, yeah, there you go.
You were,
yeah, you were asking for it at that point in time.
Yeah. The veil, yeah.
They should have been rocks.
Wait, this guy's called before. He's called before and described jogging through a cemetery, haven't you? Someone
what
else
I didn't tell you the last time is that both of my legs are e-cigarettes.
Oh, there you go. Did you get the number?
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Yeah, I did. I got the number.
You wrote it down?
I did not, but I feel honored. I remember it.
I feel honored that it happened on my dime. You know.
Well, actually, it means that we're doing a pretty good show if we're getting e-sigged.
The area code to confirm. Yep, there it is.
We got you.
I wonder, is that the actual area code for Abingdon? Let's see.
Can you look up a graveyard in Abingdon?
Yeah, that is the that's the area code. Wow.
Mother effer.
I wish they were rocks. Now, I honestly felt bad.
Yeah, you got
for this line. Person. I didn't expect to get e-cigged.
Look, he gave us exactly what we wanted, just like Tom predicted.
God, we walked right into that. Did you think at any point during that call that was going to go that way?
That's why it's always an e-cigs call. That's like that was a perfect e-cigs call because we all got
egg on my face.
It's like a catfisher. It's like catfishing.
We got egg.
Oh.
And clothesline.
That's the best way to do a mischief.
I started a log. I'm gonna add that in.
Related. I'm in shock. I never thought it would happen to me. I never thought it would happen to me. I thought that was just something for Tom. Best show. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey guys, it's Jeff from Brooklyn. How are you?
Jeff.
Well, we just got e-cigged.
Oh, I heard. I grew up outside of Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
In the town next to Abingdon.
Oh no, I don't know how this one's gonna go.
I had a mental picture in my head of the graveyard that this guy was running around when he got egged.
So it's probably a real graveyard, right?
Oh, it's a real graveyard, yeah.
So, Jeff, if we hop in a car right now, you know where this graveyard is. I think we could find e-cigs.
Sure, yeah. It's off 611.
611, I'm writing this down.
Yeah.
611, graveyard. I'm going to Google map this tonight. Okay.
Can you give us the rough coordinates?
Yeah, do you?
It's -4, 2, no, I don't know.
Okay. Well, I was writing it down anyway, so. Jeff, what do you got for the topic?
A few things for the topic.
You have so many to choose from.
Lots of topics. On letdowns, tie this into last week's show that I didn't listen to live, but rock show letdowns that I actually went to, probably the worst, most disappointing show that I ever went to was to see a band that purported to be the Zombies in London in the year 2000. I was like, oh, this is incredible. I like recently bought the box set. It was incredible.
That was a good box set. What is that, Zombie Heaven?
Zombies box set, right?
Zombie Heaven?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good box set.
Like, moved across the ocean with the box set with me. I was in love with it. So Zombies played a one-off show. And it was the absolute worst, just like, worst re-envisioning of a band. Like, it was just, like, the two main guys and then, like, some studio musicians, right? And they let me down so dramatically.
What was so bad about all reunion shows for
the rest of the time that I was there. And then there was a different one-off show by a band called The Action, which was a different, like, 60s mod band.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that show was apparently, like the best reunion show in history at that point. So that was my rock show remorse from last week. And the Zombies were my letdown. So there you go. That's those two for those topics.
Wow.
Sorry, I have too many things to say, guys.
So many topics. Keep going, Jeff.
Mischief Night. I grew up in the town next to Abingdon. Ambler, shout out Ambler. And my friends and I used to go out just throwing random things at people,
rocks
all the time from cars. We would throw
rocks.
Dudia, you were talking about biscuiting.
Yep.
We used to throw like leftovers from like taco.
So cabbage
Bell or
night. You're talking about cabbage
people.
Night.
We never threw cabbage.
Okay.
Probably the funniest thing that we ever threw. We were friends with a kid who was like a minister's son, but had a giant porno mag collection. And one time,
another
he was
Springsteen
like,
song title.
No, it's always that way, right? The minister's
here
son.
Here we go. Well, this is AP Mike After Hours.
It's like a Hawthorne short story. The minister's son. All right, okay. So we've established he's got a huge porno collection.
Or did you throw his porno collection?
Two full trash bags full of pornography.
At least he was throwing it away, right?
So he literally threw the porno out? He was throwing porno around? Wow, okay.
Yeah, so Doylestown, which is where John Worcester grew up, right?
Uh-huh.
Or nearby. Driving around Doylestown. And throwing pornography at people and saying, "This is porn!" as we were throwing it.
Yeah, that's nuts.
These
yeah.
guys would turn around like we were picking fights with them.
Uh-huh.
And then.
So you literally turned that town into Las Vegas. You ever go to Las Vegas with all the hooker things on the ground? I don't know if it's changed.
The flyers.
The flyers.
No, it hasn't
changed.
It's like,
you can't walk down the street without these flyers under your feet.
You're constantly flying.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that, I mean, what year was this?
Oh, the porno throwing was probably the late 90s.
That's probably still referred to in Doylestown as the great porn reign of 1999.
And, that's right.
And all the kids going to school the next morning. And you're finding this. And
I got a trash bag.
I mean, we did it collectively at Bros,
Right.
And they'd like be like, "Wait, huh?" and like puff out their chest and then...
Uh-huh. And then pick up two issues of Wii.
Okay, well, all right, man.
We call it OUI.
Two
copies of OUI.
Two copies of Club International.
I mean, was it classy stuff like Playboy? Was it classy stuff like Playboy? Or,
it was really not classy stuff.
Wasn't the classy. It was fun pack material.
It was two trash bags full of magazines that we thought.
Wow.
Let's throw this guy's sins away.
Well, it was like a purification. He was
that's right. Yeah.
He was that's what I mean, this does sound like a modern Nathaniel Hawthorne story. The minister's son.
Hey guys, I know what we're throwing out tonight.
Oh man, that's a classic. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
Thanks, I guess.
Wow. Yeah, people are still remembering that night, 1999, when they got smacked in the head with a copy of Hustler.
Uh-huh.
201-332-3484. We have 15 minutes left. You can literally call in about any of the topics we've put out on the table. I'm not saying we. Mike has put out on the table.
We had a potpourri.
We really did.
Of topics.
We really did.
As we head into did you see that transition I made? From Halloween to Thanksgiving, the potpourri.
Halloween, we're going in Halloween now. You're already thinking about the turkey.
I'm thinking about the
you're ahead of the game.
Thanksgiving Day topics.
So next week, we're waiting for Tom to call back. Tom could call back, but I do want to say next week we will probably not have a best show. Mainly because it is election night.
Yeah.
So we're going to give you a break so you can go out and vote, even though I don't know if polls would be open at that time of the night. But if you're in California, it'll give you the opportunity to go out and vote. Please do so. So we probably will not. If something changes, we'll let you know on our Twitter. Otherwise, it's looking like no show next week. Hi, best show. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Brian in Washington.
Washington, D.C. or state?
Washington State.
Nice.
New to the state.
You're new to the state.
Yeah. I just moved here from Alabama recently. So.
Why did you... Where are you? In Tacoma?
I'm in Olympia.
Olympia.
Tacoma.
Okay. My mom and sister live in Tacoma.
Oh, cool.
So I visit them quite a bit. Speaking of legal weed.
Great. Yeah,
there you go. So what's going on in Olympia tonight?
Well, I have one for the topic.
Go for it. Which one?
So, I don't know all the topics, but I go in for the concert regrets topic.
Okay.
So.
That was last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's come back.
Well, yeah.
Oh, we're
it's
here.
Come back to haunt us.
We're here. It's we can do it. Last week's
theme.
Anything goes.
This ties in with a haunted theme. How about that?
Okay.
So, in 2007, I was in high school. I was living in Huntsville, Alabama, in North Alabama, and the White Stripes were coming to Birmingham. And I was the biggest White Stripes fan. I had always wanted to see the White Stripes. They never came to Alabama. And this was going to be this great show. But all I knew about Birmingham at the time was that sometime toward the end of the year, they had Fright Fest at a place called Bloss Furnace. And it was like a haunted walk that you had to take to get into the venue.
Was it a Six Flags?
No, no. It was at a historical park in Birmingham called Bloss Furnace. It's like an old steel mill. Anyway, so I didn't want to take this walk. I was too afraid of taking a walk to go to the venue. So I bailed on the White Stripes show. And it turned out that the White Stripes played one more time in Mississippi. And they quit playing for a year. And they played again on the late night show. And they broke up completely.
Ooh,
and it was the last time I ever would have been able to see the White Stripes in concert. And I was too afraid as a 16-year-old to walk down the Fright Fest.
That's right. They played on Conan. On Conan's last show on late night. On his last show from 30 Rock.
Yeah.
And it was terrible.
And the worst part of the story is they actually played in June, not in October. So I was wrong about the date, which prevented me from going to the show because I was afraid of walking down the Fright Fest line.
What would be worse is if you got to the White Stripes show after all and they had e-cigarettes for legs.
Yeah, well, that's not me.
Oh, Pat.
Yeah. I heard that guy, though. I don't think that was
I'm just thinking
right.
about
bringing
how
back some emotions here.
Just
right?
thinking about how I would have turned that into e-cigs.
Yeah.
Right
now. Yeah. No. I have regular legs.
All right.
It's good.
Thank you for the call, Olympia.
His name was Olympia? That's where he's from.
I called him Olympia. I called that other guy
it's
Reno.
Like a it's like a Larry King move.
Yeah.
Olympia.
Thank you for
goodbye.
The call, Olympia.
Yeah. Larry.
Doylestown. The porno rain.
Hello. Schenectady. Hi.
So.
Sorry.
Durham. You're on with Larry King. Yeah, we're in our final 10. We can probably start wrapping things up. I don't know if Tom's going to call back. Guys, do you have any final things?
Mike does.
Final thought, Mike.
I had another topic.
Please, go ahead.
I think Tom could have gone much further with this than me. Where's cereal? I saw an article today. I didn't know this existed. Did you know that there is a Golden Girls cereal?
I'm listening.
And that...
What, like a current one, or it was
yes,
released...
Yes, current.
Current.
And I think Target was selling it. I may be wrong there. I skimmed this article. I poured over the newspapers for this show today. So I saw this article about a Golden Girls cereal, and appropriately, the cereal is like bluish.
Yeah.
A bluish color. And it's sold through the roof to the point where they were not able to keep up with the demand for the cereal. And now there are boxes of Golden Girls cereal selling for $100 on eBay.
I was getting ready to say, I just saw one pop up. Like, even on Walmart's site, it's $89.99.
There you go. Okay, yeah.
And it is blue. It's very
right.
blue.
Yeah, yeah. And now that's being followed up by a Golden Girls Pez dispensers.
Nice.
From the Funko people who, I don't understand that whole Funko things. That
I thought you were going to say they were following it up with an empty nest cereal.
No.
You don't get the Funko things.
No. I mean, there's a record store I in my hometown, my old hometown, not Bayonne. And, they sell those things. It literally lines every wall in the store.
Oh, every store.
So it's some sort of huge thing that I just feel like, what is this thing that I have no understanding of, and yet it's huge. I worked the Ed Sheeran concert. They were selling them
They were selling Ed Sheeran Funkos?
Ed Sheeran has a Funko.
Featuring!
Ed Sheeran had a Funko. You know? Beyonce and Jay-Z did not have Funkos.
They didn't have Funkos.
They should have. But it's crazy. Right?
What is some of the, out of all of the shows that you've worked at MetLife, what is some of the weirdest merch you've seen? Who had the weirdest merch?
Well, the merch is the standard fare. I mean, that was probably the weirdest thing.
The Ed Sheeran Funko?
Yeah, yeah. I saw that. I was like, wow. Okay, yeah, you know, funny. this guy's really thinking of the merch area and how to really cash in.
Yeah.
You know? That was a first. No, but I mean, the rest is just T-shirts and, you know, the standard stuff.
Nothing mind-blowing.
Although I think Ed Sheeran even had, like, a scarf. Really? I think he may have had a scarf.
I mean, I love the scarf
that
guy, set you
that
off.
Guy, that, well, unfortunately for that show, I was literally positioned right across from the merch table. And there was a guy who really felt like he had to yell through the whole thing, hawking the stuff, mm-hmm. as if people didn't see this giant.
So he was screaming about the Funko?
Oh, yeah, get your merch, you know, just everything, screaming through the whole thing. And it's like driving me and my partner like crazy. Like, is this guy ever going to shut up?
Are those guys that travel with the tour, or are those MetLife guys?
They're MetLife people.
They're MetLife guys. So your side of the MetLife crew hates that side of the MetLife
crew. Well, yeah, it's just a bad place that, you know, we just happen to be across from this huge, and, you know, they were selling like gangbusters. I think he even had a blanket. Yeah, I think they sold out of the blanket. You know, so I mean, this guy, yeah, I give him all the credit in the world. I can take a few notes from him as well.
What about AP Mike Blanket? Like, your face on a blanket.
I don't know how much it would cost to get a Funko of myself, but I mean, they all look alike. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, that's the thing. It's like, how is this, like, so different than the other one that looks just like it? I mean, maybe the hair is a different color or.
Do they do, like, the Funko kit where you can make your own Funko? Can somebody make an AP Mike Funko?
I don't know what Funko is.
It's those little dolls.
I give you credit.
I give you credit for that, Pat.
Yeah.
Figures.
I'm ashamed that I know what it is.
Remember Funko Land, where you could buy old video games? Remember that? Funko Land in the mall. You could buy like.
What do you mean, like Suncoast?
No. It was a gaming store, but you could buy old used games like for Nintendo during like the PlayStation era.
I didn't even have
like the first PlayStation era. You could go to buy like Paperboy on Nintendo, NES, and Super Nintendo games, and you could sell your old games to them, and people would buy them from Funko Land.
Man, all I had Mothers, I had Disc Jockey,
and
I had
Batman the movie.
I had Batman the movie. I had KB Toys.
KB Toys, yeah.
Yeah, KB was good. I miss KB.
Yeah, I miss Toy Stores.
R.I.P. Yeah. I do. I heard on the news on the way in that Walmart's really beefing up their toy section, and Party City has pop up. Yeah, I know. Worst people on earth.
Party City has toys?
Party City has really upped their game with toys.
I back that.
I can back that. I get a lot of weird wigs there.
I don't know about Walmart, though.
Thanks, Party City. Uh-huh. Yeah, a lot of good plugs tonight.
Yeah.
Mike, your final thought was opening a new, topic. Mm-hmm. Pat, final thought, plugs.
Uh-huh. What have we learned today, tonight?
I was wrong on Hardtack earlier. I just want to correct myself.
Just that?
Hardtack, yeah.
How about the Jehovah's Witness people or the Mormons?
Either way, we're going to be issuing a lot of corrections on tomorrow's podcast.
Take back any of that stuff.
Okay.
That was well researched. Yeah. The hard tack was
the hard tack was accurate. Wrong. Okay.
All right. I have no corrections other than
no corrections.
Apologies to the WTF universe, which we are
very
close to.
We are a big part of our universe.
I know exactly. No, we
wouldn't be here
without
them.
We're busting beans.
Yeah,
we're busting. I love the show. I listen to it all the time.
Absolutely love them. Well, I'm gonna say I got a plug, but I'm just gonna say, look, don't take my negativity on Bohemian Rhapsody. If you want to see the movie, go see it. Just know you're going into a fictional film.
We should be playing the Rocky theme underneath you.
Just know that you're going to see something that is factually inaccurate.
In the tradition of rock films.
Yeah, in the tradition. Somebody asked me on Twitter what I thought of Walk the Line. I liked Walk the Line.
I did too.
And there was a lot of accurate material in Walk the Line.
Yeah. Not a lot of walking.
No, not much walking. There was a lot of just static shots.
I'm making horrible jokes. Sorry.
Okay.
Ray was pretty good, too.
Ray was great, too. Yeah. So, there you go. Go see it if you want to see it. Hey, I'm at UCB Hell's Kitchen on Saturday night for the Flying Blind Sketch Show. FOMO Live with Kristen Bartlett is back at Union Hall on Sunday, the 18th of November at 8 p.m. with a killer lineup, so don't miss that. Pat, we're going to end the show. So I played a Friends song during at the beginning of the show, and you're going to play a Friends song at the end. Before you talk about that, I just want to remind you there's a very good chance no best show next week. That's what we're kind of talking about. It is Election Day. It's super important. Please get out and vote.
Vote people.
Tell your friends to get out and vote.
Yeah.
If there's some of those people who are like, hey, I just don't want to vote in this election, please convince them to go out and vote.
I actually did. Week. I convinced my coworker who wasn't registered to get registered before the New Jersey deadline, and I'm proud of myself.
That's a good.
If you know people who are registered that feel too lazy, please do the same and have that conversation, folks. It's important.
Pat, Tom, you are on the line. We're not doing a show next week, correct?
Let's not do the show next week.
Okay. That is the final word, everyone. And Tom is back with us for the final minutes.
Yes. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for listening to the best show tonight. I appreciate Jason and Mike and Pat holding it down.
Mike left.
And Mike left.
No, I'm just kidding.
Throw me under the bus.
I'm kidding.
Oh, no. I appreciate it. And how did the show go? I'm sorry I couldn't have been there so much tonight.
It was a fun one.
Hard night for the kid.
Yeah, it was a fun one. There were about 120 topics, and, you know, we had some pee talk for about 25 minutes.
It's a great story by somebody, a Mischief Night story.
Oh, yeah.
They drove around throwing pornography out of their window of the car.
Yeah, it might have conjured them.
I don't know. I tap into a certain part of the audience, and they come through for me. Yeah.
No, you generate. These people don't exist until you literally... It's like if a graveyard, it's like a power line falls on a graveyard, then the dead come to life. It's like you fall, your thing goes out, and it hits these people's ears, and you turn them into some version of that.
And they'll never call again. They never called before.
No.
They're one-timers. Yeah. They're one and done.
You found them. Yeah, one and done.
This is literally the scariest thing we could have done for Halloween.
AP Mike's one and done club.
Please somebody make that graphic. And we got e-cig, Tom.
We got e-cig.
You got e-cig?
Yep.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
Well, God bless you.
It's a weird feeling, man.
None of us saw it coming. Yeah. He gave us exactly what we wanted.
Yeah.
It was totally
so
your...
Much fun,
your
is it?
Yeah.
No.
It's like a
Not
shark
so much
attack.
Fun. Yeah. You're on the wrong end. You guys are hooting and hollering out there in the vestibule when I get torched by that dude. You're having a grand old time. Suddenly you're on the wrong end of it. It's not so funny.
We didn't see
All right,
it,
my
huh?
friend.
Okay,
I
Tom.
Say to you thank you. And I say to you good night.
Good night, Tom.
And I thank all three of you, and I thank the listeners. And things will get back to normal soon. I'm trying. Soon it will be back to normal.
Get some rest.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom. Get some rest.
Have a grand evening.
You too.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
So with that, before Pat talks about the final song, no best show next week. No best show for November 6th. We will see you in 2 weeks.
Go vote.
So November 13th, we'll be right back here in the Best Show studio doing some shape form of the best show. So over to you, Pat.
You know, he's a good guy.
Who?
Tom.
Yeah,
Tom's
he's a
really
great guy.
Tom's a really great guy.
Tom's
I don't
really
think we
great.
Say that enough.
We don't.
He's a great guy.
We don't.
He's a good guy.
I'm gonna close the show with a song. I guess if you could fade down the bed. You have it cued and all that. But this guy, I'm sorry.
Jesus.
I'm sorry.
You're
I'm
professional.
You know what? I don't want to do this. Just let's play the
good
no.
guy.
So because we're not doing a show next week, it next week, November 6th, in 2008, 10 years ago, when Obama got elected, that is the 10-year anniversary, unfortunately, of my friend and some friends who are listeners of the shows. We're friends of this guy. His name is Jamie Hewen, and he was in the great band Bent Out of Shape. And he was a friend of listener of the show Mikey Erg. He was a friend of listener of the show Colin Hagendorf, who's a Slice Harvester. And he was a friend of mine, and he played all over the place, and he was in a lot of bands, but his biggest band was Bent Out of Shape, and they were very kind of Replacements influenced, and they influenced a lot of other bands that are still going now, and they were really, really good. If you don't know Bent Out of Shape, if you want to learn about them, just type them into a computer. Their album Stray Dog Town is a brilliant album. We're going to hear the title track from that, and I want to dedicate this to the late, great Jamie Hewen, who is 10 years gone, which I can't believe, but he was just the funniest and one of the greatest songwriters. So this goes out to his memory, his family, any friends that knew him. So this one's for Jimbo. Take it away, Jason.
Best show will be back in 2 weeks. See ya.